Blog Talk Radio. All right.
Welcome.
How are you? Good job, huh? So how's it going, guys? Hello, hello, hello. What's up? So if you're out there thinking about what's going on, that kind of stuff, don't know the answers, I bet we do. So why don't you call and give us a call, okay? 646-721-9031. Get some insight. Psychic insight, spiritual insight. I think it's all one the same, don't you think? Also, we let's take a look at the situation. I said, I'm Psychic X Journey Man, your host. Hello. And then we have Heather with us as well. Hello. Yeah.
Hello.
Hello. So it's like I'm walking everybody to the show. I'll sit and talk about the ideal. 646-721-9031 is the number call to get in and get an answer to your questions. Or the idea if you have many questions, multi-questions, all the things that I love. So therefore, call us. We'll give you the answers. If we don't have the answers, which is, not likely. Anyway, but are we being cocky or just really sure of ourselves? Some people would say full of ourselves, but then again, like attracts like, doesn't it? So you're full of yourself, too. Anyway.
Well, I suppose if that's what one sees, then that's how they feel. So.
Because the wacky duo from Colorado, the talkative ones who actually have insights to your life. So therefore, but what's what you say? Anyway. I was sitting looking at some things the other day going, what can we do in a situation of wackiness? I think we should look at the idea of wackiness and go watch cartoons. That's my personal experience. Anyway, go ahead.
I'm sorry, the idea of what?
That's exactly what's in there. That's what we're going to do tonight. The idea of what? Anyway, I was sitting there talking about the idea of wackiness. The thing I get getting the most is the idea. I just got done talking to my friend. She did everything she could think of, and the idea to get me to come on Skype and talk to her. I mean, she said, I want you. Don't leave me. Please don't go. You're my soulmate. How can you do that to me? See, that's probably one thing I don't understand some people they do. I'm suffering, and you leave me alone. I'm sorry. I'm not responsible for you. The reason you're going through any kind of suffering is because of your own insecurities and the only things that you let in to actually torture you. Now, this person wants me to talk to.
I was actually thinking about this tonight. When I went through a divorce and my family was still friends with my ex-husband, I was very, how can you do that? Go talk to him. But, you know, my family had known him for, you know, since childhood, so it was very unfair for me to ask that. But here's the thing. So this is the information that I got. It was like a little download today. It's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
But it's our own lack of self-worth. It has to do with me. My issues with them being friends had to do with me and what I was going through and my lack of enough love for myself and truly being connected to spirit or to source and knowing it's okay, Heather. This is all love. We're all playing, we're all having fun. Yes, Johnny, I am processing line upon line, precept upon precept, okay? It's one learning at a time and it's some learning is a little harder than others, but it's because that's what we get to experience so that we can truly learn that lesson fully. But it really truly is embracing ourselves. Me, I get to embrace me and I get to love me. And I get to know that just because my family talks to someone who's hurt me doesn't mean that they don't love me. And it doesn't mean that they can't talk to that person. I have nothing to do with that. And neither do my feelings. And you know, I used to think, well, I just want to be safe. And I mean, safe as in I don't want to be hurt. I don't want my family talking to my ex because I feel like it would cause my family to betray me. Well, I wouldn't be safe then. So that's not it at all. Had nothing to do with me. Nothing. It had nothing to do with them trying to hurt me or not try to hurt me. It was a friendship that was created long before I ever came along. So does that make sense, my
Yes, I was sitting there talking about the same situation too, with people sitting there going, you know, certain things have to be this way and certain things have to be that way. And if they don't, then I can't really be happy and live my own life. If that's the case, then I would have been freaking screwed up for the rest of my life because my ex-wife married my brother. So when you sit and look at the situations or the things you're confronted, you have to learn from, no matter what it is, to understand one thing, them staying together has nothing to do with you.
Well, you know, I have a really, really beautiful, you know, this book that I got from Louise Hay, Meditations to Heal Your Life. I found a beautiful, two really awesome ones. One is on love and one is on money. And if you think about it, those are the two things that the majority of human beings really truly concentrate on, love and money. You know, that's what you hear most people talk about.
Yeah,
so,
if they focus on love, if they focus solely on love, the things that they don't think they can have, they would have all the time.
Well, this is really, these are affirmations, and I absolutely love them. They are so perfect. And affirmations are something that really get to be said, not just every day, but even numerous times throughout the day, because our brain, our ego tends to jump in there and say, oh, no, you can't. So the affirmation comes back and says, oh, yes, I can. And I am. I get to do this. I get to have this. But can I, would you mind if I read this?
No, go ahead.
All right. It says, I rejoice in the love I have to share. And then that's just the first part, which is a very short, beautiful affirmation. And this other one, this is meant to be said during a meditation. Deep at the center of my being, there is an infinite supply of love. There is an exhaustible and inexhaustible, I'm all over the place. I get to slow down. It is inexhaustible. I know, me slow down? Whoa. I can never use it all in this lifetime, so I do not have to be sparing with it. In other words, I get to be very abundant with my love, and I get to give it to everyone. And, yes, Donnie, and we've had this discussion even last night. And I know, I'm learning. I can always be generous with my love. Love is contagious. When I share love, it comes back to me multiplied. The more I love, the more love I give, the more love I have. I have come into this world to be a love giver. I came in full of love. And even though I will share my love all my life, when I leave this earth, I will still have a full and happy heart. If I want more love, then I only have to give, or then I have only to give. Love is, and I am. I am a radiant being of love. And so it is. Anyway, yes, it is. There's nothing like a great heartache to really truly teach you how to still love. I know that doesn't make any sense, but it does at the same time. It's like the Tao Te Ching. 10,000 things named and 10,000 things nameless. You know, it's the yin and yang of things.
Yeah.
One cannot experience a true love, genuine love, without that hate. You know, you have to experience darkness to know what light really is. So, aha! That was such an aha!
I was sitting here talking the other day about a friend of mine. Lucy's one of them, and it's kind of amazing how people have a tendency to justify the nightmare they're living, which also puts them in a position to actually miss the dream they've been looking for. And people look at the situation going, okay, explain that. What does that mean? It means the idea of what you're looking at right now, all the things you're doing. It's like, for example, we had that one situation where I had this client who was constantly focusing on this other guy all the time. Well, you know, what's he doing? I mean, it was like a day by day thing. So I only came to the realization that I can't give her no more readings anymore, because the idea of the situation was I'm enabling her because I keep giving her the answers to the day-by-day play, and I feel like a newscast, a caster, who I'm sitting going over this whole thing. But I was like, it was kind of funny how the person was justifying the idea of living the nightmare. At the same time, they had this dream they wanted to live, and the process of actually finding the one, having that kind of relationship, and having a great life. But they won't let go of the old one. And it was the idea of trying to explain how can you sit there and sit down with somebody and go, how can I explain to you that by not letting go of all the things that you have planned probably won't happen because you choose to live the nightmare?
Okay, let me tell you this perspective on it. Okay? If you can visualize this,
mm-hmm.
If someone is on the edge of a cliff, hanging onto your hand, and you are over the edge of the cliff, and they're letting go, but you are doing everything in your power to hang on. You're fighting for your very life because mm-hmm. you don't want to fall off that cliff. And that's the only way I can describe the feeling. And so all one has to do is to acknowledge that it's okay to let go because you will be caught. You won't plummet to your death. It will be okay. There are angels down there waiting to catch you. It is hard. It is the hardest thing in the world to let go. How does one let go?
They listen to the words and do it.
It's easier said than done. It truly is easier said than done. However,
the thing you're hanging on to are just thoughts. They don't exist.
And that's true. That's true. But at the same time, you know what's up there. You don't know what's down below. On the, you know, how far down does that cliff go? What's down there? I can't see what's down there.
Yeah, this is a situation when you look at it, too, and say there's nothing you can do except for take a leap of faith.
Exactly. It's trusting. And there are tools to move you through those processes and to help you let go. It is moment to moment to moment. And it's not, you know, most smokers can't just throw down a cigarette and say, I'm never smoking again, and walk away.
Yes.
And so some can, very few, but some can. And those are the strong ones.
And we can only go by our own perceptions because that's exactly what I did when I quit smoking. I just stopped.
Well,
I know
and that's
yeah. Yes, and other people have a tendency to look at the situation, which I don't think they're ready to do, okay? So that's why they can't stop smoking because they're really not ready to go.
Right, and so perhaps mm-hmm. because someone is not ready to let go while they're on the edge of that cliff, maybe there's something else to learn. There's a deeper lesson there. And that's mm-hmm. why they don't let go. Like I said, line upon line, precept upon precept. And yes, you do have to let go eventually because you're just going to fall. But by then it may be too late. I don't know.
Could be.
Some people don't ever let go.
Well, we look at the situation of being too late. Is there anything such thing as being late or not doing it quick enough? Maybe it's just the idea of the way it was supposed to play out. So therefore, next lifetime, I've heard Jewish people say this, well, since I didn't do it this time, there's always next time. So they look forward to the next path.
Exactly. But if you don't handle it in this lifetime, you will have to handle it in the next lifetime. And it could be even harder then.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you what, I'm tired of my lessons being hard. I get to have them be easier.
Here's a good book I like to have.
Huh?
Here's a book that says, nothing is too good to be true. Some things are free. Some things don't cost anything. It's your perception that tells you otherwise. They have a tendency to not allow you to walk down that path to find out for yourself.
Exactly.
See, we look at the situation, removing mask. Are you wearing a mask? If you're sitting there scared to death of somebody seeing you for who you are, you just confirmed you're wearing a mask. Or why would you ask the question? You must be hiding behind something to have someone be fearful of actually seeing the truth.
Okay.
So you have to look at these things and go, okay, is that really being truthful? And if I'm not being that truthful with myself, then I can't be honest with anybody else either. Does that mean you're a bad person? No, it just means you just came up with a realization of maybe the things you're trying to create are not happening because there are certain things you need to let go of. I guess it's one of those things of looking at people going, okay, think about everything you want to do. Maybe you want to start a business. Maybe you want to sit here and acquire some property. Maybe you want to do the whole thing. Not realizing that the one relationship or the one person you refuse to let go of could keep all those things from happening because they're part of something you want to create. Okay? And the process of not allowing those to happen is your choice. You've made a choice to hang on to something you're familiar with instead of allowing yourself to have all the things you've ever wanted in your whole life. So if you look at your life and you're seeing all these blocks, just the idea of affirming to yourself that you know you need to let go of something. When all those other things don't happen, the only person you have to blame is yourself because you made a choice to hang on to something you need to let go of. So you can't get mad. I've seen people do this. I can't get this to manifest. I can't get this. How come I don't have my own business? How come this one? I'm still stuck in the same job. At the same time, I look at you and say, well, I have to justify by hanging on to this one person because I just have to. So therefore, I guess it's like lately it's been a crazy situation with the readings of people. Women in general are willing to sacrifice their whole lives just because of one hurts. And you want to look at you.
It goes back to.
Yeah, but the one thing about being a psychic and the most hardest thing and the most, I think could be really, depends on the way you look at it, the most cruelest thing is the idea of being a part of these situations of people asking questions, looking for insight, and then they refuse to do one thing. They could actually answer everything else along with it too. That if once a person decides to just let go, the idea, I've always explained this many, many times, and the idea of letting go doesn't mean you give up. It's the idea of letting go and allowing what was meant to happen to first happen, and then all these other things you keep questioning, at the same time of letting go, you let down a resistance, everything starts going forward again, and the answers you're looking for are on the conveyor belt of life. They will come to you spontaneously. How do I know this? Because I did the same thing. In the process of things I talk about on the show, the one thing I talk to people about all the time, the reason I have a tendency to really focus on what I've gone through, because I can identify. And it wasn't until I actually let go of a freaking three-year relationship and realizing in the process of that whole choice, it wasn't just 3 years. It was three lifetimes of not letting go of somebody. And the reason it was kind of funny, too, when I looked at the situation, I looked at all the things I did in that relationship to justify my actions, to make it something it wasn't. It doesn't matter how many times she beat me in the head. It doesn't mean how many times she broke up with me. Doesn't matter how many times she hurt me. I could always find a way to justify it, to keep going. Until one day I realized all I was doing was torturing myself. And then I let those go. This is funny, too. When you let this whole thing go, everything, I started realizing there was nothing synchronicity about the whole situation at all. Only synchronicity of the whole thing was the ideal of the justification I found. But then I let it go and started living what synchronicity is all about and the idea of everything falling into place. Okay, even the idea of tracing it back to a decision I made to leave Colorado in order to the idea of pursuing this relationship. And then when I sit there and realize that and got back into the situation and got back to Colorado, everything started falling in synchronicity again. So when we started looking at the situation, it's like I had this before where I know for a fact I shouldn't do certain things, but I did it anyway. Someone was telling me I need to go visit some girl who works at this other metaphysical shop. And it was like every time I tried to go down there and see her, at that time a psychic was telling me this, my psychic friend was telling me this, you need to do this, you need to do that, you need to keep, the thing I started noticing is she started saying you needed to keep visual. Because if you didn't, she was going to forget about you. When I know for a damn fact, nobody forgets nothing. Everything happens because it's supposed to. If we would just have some freaking faith in what we already know, and the process of nothing is a coincidence. Everything happens for a reason. Bonds and connections happen, and they're supposed to give us freedom to understand that if we do have a connection like we know for a fact that we do, we trust ourselves, then therefore why worry about it? It's like asking your ass every time you sit on a chair. Are you guys having it? Are you guys connected? When you know for a fact they are, that's really insecure. But I'm just saying, might be a little drastic, but every time I tried to go down to see that person, at that time, nothing would fall into place. Everything was just out of whack. No synchronicity at all. I lost my license. I didn't even lose my license. I lost my credit card. I put myself in some situations that were really crucially embarrassing because I wouldn't listen to my intuition and my guides that said, no, you're not supposed to go down there. Your ego keeps telling you otherwise, and the ego needs to be put to rest. And the idea of realizing your ego is for one thing. Once you've listened to your guides and angels, it's your motivation to follow through. So now it's time to follow through. You need to go to your shop. Okay, as soon as I listened to that guidance and went to my shop, I didn't have to wait for a bus for an hour. I didn't miss my bus. I didn't lose anything. Anything what happened was I got on the bus. It was funny, too. I went to the bus stop, waited 5 minutes. There it was. Next thing I was sitting in my shop going, that was so easy. And that's the point. When we start listening to our guides and angels and stop listening to this freaking fucked up world, you're going to see one thing. You're going to see your life get simple. You're going to start realizing that's how it was supposed to be in the first place. It wasn't until your parents came into the situation and said, this is what you need to do with your life, you're not listening to your guides. I know for a fact I've talked to several children, I've talked to several adults that when they were children, they were hearing the guidance. They were hearing their angels and guides tell them all kinds of stuff. They could have gotten out of trouble. Okay, am I knocking anything about the parents? No, but the parents can only give you what their own perceptions tell them. And if something's telling you that you can't listen to them because they don't know what they're talking about, we can't put ourselves in a false sense of responsibility either, saying, well, they're my parents, and I've got to listen to them. Here we go, off the cliff. No, I don't think I want to do that. It's like walking into a freaking ambush, knowing for a fact that you were walking into an ambush. Are you realistically going to do that? And then why are you going to continue to walk into these stupid-ass relationships and hang on to these stupid people in the process that they need some realizations, they need realization that you're not going to be around, that you don't exist because of their own choices that put you in a position where you had to make that choice. Was it a hard choice? Maybe it was, or maybe it was just the point of your perception saying it was a hard choice, when realistically, it was just a choice. Like the idea we had the girl talking about, this guy left me. Oh, he did all these things to me. No, he didn't. Those were little situations he proved to who he really was, and you wasn't listening. You wanted to make it personal. Instead of looking at the situation of learning about the truth of a person and learning the truth about yourself. So when you start to look at the situations, excuses be gone. Let it happen today, okay? Don't look at the situation and go, okay, I have to do this. Or I have to protect my family. Or I have to do all these little things. You don't have to do a damn thing. But listen to your angels and guides and go down that path and realize there is no such thing as right and wrong. You choose a path, you go down, you learn. Is there such thing as good and evil? Yeah, it's a little voice on the other side going, this is what you need to do. And then your angels are going, really? Are you feeding into fear again? When you know for
yes,
a fact
we're human.
Really know to do. Huh?
We're human. That's the whole point of all of
it.
We're human. We're spirit beings having a human existence. So in order to have that human existence, we do have to have our ego. Now, to be the master is to overcome the ego while we are still human. Okay? So we can't do that without having, you know, yes, we have to return to fear every once in a while because that is our human existence. Now, as a master, it is a step-by-step, a moment-to-moment, you know, the line upon line. It takes a minute. Yes, you get to have that hurt. Yes, you get to turn to that fear because we can't learn without that. Now,
that's boring.
Don't take
I'm
that the wrong way. Don't take that the wrong way.
I'm just saying people need to stop making justifications to continue to going through the same lesson over and over again.
Okay, so
if you're looking at
the
situation, it's like this. I understand that. But when a guy or a woman comes into your life, but they're no longer part of your life, then they're no longer your concern. And if you make them concerned, you have to ask yourself, why are you making an excuse and defending why you need to? Because they've already come into your life. They already came in your life for the reason they came in. And now the reason they're not a part of your life, because they no longer are part of the lesson. It's done. It's over. So it's the idea of putting that situation just like that and say, okay, So therefore, every time I catch myself talking about another person who's no longer part of my life, that person is controlling my life, and they're not even part of it. So you have to sit here and look at the situation, even on the smallest level, it's still a control. And I still feel like the ideal that we're spiritual beings in human bodies. So therefore, it's like, for example, we're driving down the road. We're in our car. Now let's look at the situation like this. We're the spiritual being, and we're in the car. Same thing with your spirit and your body. Okay, let's say your body does something stupid. Or you're saying your car, let's put it in the prospect of the car, has a flat tire or something. Okay, do you need to continue with that car off the side of the cliff? Or do you have a choice of jumping out of that car? It's like the ideal. You can either listen to your body, it says, well, this is what you need to do, or you can listen to yourself and your guides and saying, maybe this situation is not the ideal of learning to deal with hurt. It's the idea of realizing whether the hurt even happened in the first place. Jump out of the freaking car and go to the side of the road and go, okay, why did it do that? You didn't need to know. You didn't need to know why.
Yes,
right? Did you need to know why the car decided to go off the cliff? Or did you make a choice to jump out of the car? And then later on you figure it out.
Okay. When a child is learning how to add 2 + 2 = 4, and the teacher gets frustrated because that child does not comprehend it, it's not the child's fault that it's not at the same point that the teacher is. Okay, so the teacher gets to be patient and understanding and find other ways. Well, our angels find other ways. They don't ever lose their patience or get angry with us or anything, but they do find other ways. Okay, well, as human beings and fellow human beings, we get to understand and we get to know and trust that each person is on their own journey and their own learning, and that it is beautiful and magnificent. And we get to stand in a space of honor with them, because look at how beautiful that is. That person is going through their lessons, you know?
Uh-huh. Yes. I believe it.
Just because one person has learned and has been able to move forward doesn't mean the next person is able to. And that's just how it goes. Each person is truly on their own journey. Each person is going through their own nightmare or their own hell in some way or another. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's just being patient and knowing. That's it. That's where what I read about the love. We get to love each person in their beautiful magnificence. Yeah, there's a lot of times when I get stuck in my muck, and let me tell you, my muck is nasty.
Mm-hmm.
It is pretty nasty. So,
mm-hmm.
Anyways, that's when I just tend to keep to myself. I have my own tools, and I know how to work through my muck. It just takes me a minute sometimes. And that's okay. That's not a bad thing. Like I said, it's okay for each person to feel that, to be stuck back in that, because they obviously are not complete with it, and they have something else to learn. Now,
mm-hmm.
if it goes on for 10 years, it's a different story. We have a bit of a problem. Okay, someone is being stagnant, and they get to move forward. That's a bit of a problem. So I say 10 years because I've heard about someone who is still stuck in their stuckness. And it's been 10 years. I'm like, oh, my goodness. Their stuckness. Their muck.
Their stuckness?
Stuckness. Yes, it's a word. I just made it up.
Oh, my God.
Yes. That's Heather's language.
No.
You know, well, this is my world, right?
Mm-hmm.
I just posted that on Facebook. I'm in my own little world. They like me there.
Okay. But like I said before, we all have to make choices. Of course. So we also have to understand the people who walk out of our lives because they don't want to hear it anymore. Plain and simple.
Right.
It's like,
right.
patience and be. I've heard these things people call it a real friend. Okay, but let's look at both sides of the equation of what a real friend is. Okay, that's the difference. People look at the situation and go, well, if you were really a friend, you'd put up with the shit. If you were a real friend, you'd snap out of it. Okay, now who's right and who's wrong? I get the impression
okay.
They're both right, so they make choices, and they go different ways. They go, forget this.
Okay.
I'm not going
as
to deal with you
as
right
a
now.
Friend, though, you cannot tell someone, as a real friend, you need to snap out of it. You can't do that. You can choose
yes, you can.
Out
like
of
your
the
friend
friendship.
Said before, if you have a friend who's been doing this for 10 years, I think someone needs to have the backbone of being a friend to say, you know something? Enough's enough.
I think there's a better way to go about it. One doesn't have to be so
yeah,
aggressive.
But we also have to go back to the situation you said before. Every situation has its own way of doing things. So two friends in one situation might go about it just that way because that's the way it does. And then the situation of you and your friend might be a different way of approaching it. Okay? But we have to sit here and take it back like I've always done before, which I think is very important, to take it back to the individual. Now, if you sit here and look at the situation, I mean, seriously, I can't sit here and go by this anymore because I've just been too much... I'm doing the psychic work, and I know for a fact that there has been friends that I just sit here and said flat out, you have to stop wallowing. You want me to sit there and condone your actions, and what I'm doing right now is, I can't do this anymore because I wouldn't do this. And if I was in the same situation, I'd hope like hell someone would tell me the same thing to say, snap out of it, because you were right now, it's like making excuses and justification. Is a person who chooses, of course, but in the same process, they have to understand one thing. Their actions are affecting other people. Okay? And the ideal of expecting me to sit there and go, okay, I want you to deal with this, I don't have to deal with it. And therefore, you should also understand that if you're hitting me a certain way of your own pain, that I just don't want to deal with, and I think you need to deal with it on your own. So take me out of the equation and understand me that I'm making a decision to walk away from the situation until you decide that you won't be happy. Because I've already made a decision in my life that I'm going to focus on all the positive. Now, I heard this once before. A man without fear is a dangerous person. I don't think so. I think that's another fucking human being going, okay, fear. This guy has no fear. He has no right to do that way because I haven't faced all my fear. So see, this is a person who's imposing their own perceptions on somebody else because they've already gone through it, and they refuse to do it anymore. And all they're trying to do is say, okay, go by my actions, and I'm not going to sit here, and I'm not going to sit here and condone the idea of someone making decisions and doing all these things and being mean to themselves that I can't deal with anymore. I can't sit there and watch somebody torture themselves. I can't watch somebody who's going to take this situation to the point where they're basically suffering because they choose to instead of looking at the situation for what it is. But I've actually seen people who do that. They see the realizations. They see what they need to do. And then they're going to sit there and come right back again and say, no, I have to keep continuing to hurt myself. And this self annihilation. I mean, can you really sit around and watch this person go through this? Or does this person really have to hit rock bottom? And the only way they're ever going to hit rock bottom is to let go of them and watch them fall and then watch them stay on their own 2 feet so then they can come back and we can be on the same page together. Because I'm not going to bring myself down to their level. It's their job to learn from the experience to bring themselves up, to raise their vibration. Okay? So therefore, expecting me to lower my vibration because you can't deal with something that's going on right now, you think that's really fair to me, to make me and put me in that position? I don't think so. So therefore, if I even feed into it, then I'm going against my own declaration of being happy, and I can't do that. So if you choose to wallow in misery, I've already made a decision that everything in my life is going to contribute to my happiness, and right at that moment, you're not. So therefore, the choices that you refuse to follow through with and the things that you refuse to do because you feel like you need to, I can't go backwards. I have to keep going forward. So therefore, if you get taken out of my life, it's because of the things you won't sit there and realize. It's like the idea of not living the realization. I've already lived those, and I've made a choice. I'm going to be happy. My choice is happiness. I'm going to confront these things. The ideal of confronting the things that are coming up in my future, I have to be in that state of happiness, so therefore, even those infractions, I can get through them smoothly. So therefore, by me making that choice, I'm also setting myself as an example that a person who refuses to do those can see somebody who has made those choices and realize that they're not that hard. It's just a realization what you're going to have to let go of, the things you're going to make changes in your life. If you can see somebody doing those things and say, no, I refuse to be unhappy, then maybe you'll do the same.
Well, so on one hand, you can set the example. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink.
Yeah, but there's some people I'm refusing to take a cup to them because they got to learn how to get their asses up there and get the drink.
Well, sometimes you have to do that. Sometimes you have to cut loose for your own sanity, but you can't say.
It's like taking a dead horse and dragging him to water, thinking if I get him to the water, he's going to do something when he's dead. It's all
okay,
done.
But listen, here's
I'll
the
bury
thing.
Bury the damn thing and move on. Okay.
Well, it's one thing to say I'm choosing out of this because it is no longer healthy for me. And it's another thing to say, well, if you were a good friend, you would show up different. You would, you wouldn't act this way. You wouldn't wallow in your pity. You wouldn't wallow in your muck. That you can't say that to somebody and have the results that you're looking for, because it's not going to give you the results you're looking for, because it's mean and hurtful, because that person is only going to.
I'm starting to get to a point where I'm not asking you. I'm not looking for a change. I'm not looking for you to do anything. I'm just looking for you to do what you need to do.
Okay. You confuse me when you say you, because I feel like you're talking to me.
I always tell people, I was talking to my friend Lucy earlier, and I said to her and said, there's a friend who's driving me freaking crazy because she sees things for what they are, but she continues to hang on to it anyway. And the first thing Lucy said was, I don't think I'm doing that. The one thing about the situation was, I wasn't talking about Lucy. But since Lucy brought it up, see, Lucy's identifying with it. So therefore, I just got a realization about what I know is fact because of her actions. Now, is she going to follow through with it? Not at this moment. She's going to hang on to Dorkweed. I didn't call him that way because that's his real name. Anyway, but I'm saying with the situation, me personally, I sit back and I'm a psychic, insightful, the whole thing. I see things for what they are. So therefore, I can usually make decisions before I really had to put myself in the situation. But it was kind of funny how I said one thing and she thought it automatically was her. So therefore, realistically, what I just described is her. I was talking about somebody else. It's kind of funny how she identifies with it. So the idea of identifying with it, she should really honestly take a look at it of why she would even think that. And even when I told her I wasn't talking about her, she still insisted on I was. So therefore, it really resonated with her. So there's really something there that, as a realization that she needs to follow through with, and she really needs to take a serious look at herself and ask herself why is she hanging on to a situation that realistically causes nothing but pain and suffering, and it's what we call the nightmare, which has nothing to do with her dream at all. So why do people choose to live the nightmare instead of going up to the dream? Of course, this is another realization they have to go through, why. But I thought it was kind of funny how she identified with that. Now here you are identifying with something you think I'm talking about you, when realistically I'm just talking about clients. But then again, I say before, take what was said and see how it does resonate with you, and some kind of realization, and see what happens. I got this book today by Dr. Wayne W. Dreyer called Excuses Be Gone. And it's a term I was trying to identify with people, saying, if you come up with an excuse for anything, you have a tendency to make excuses to keep yourself from where you really want to be at. Okay? If you're making excuses to keep yourself from being somewhere, ask yourself one thing is, okay, what's the excuse keeping me from being where? If you come up with the conclusion that you know exactly where it's at, then you trace it back and ask yourself, why am I making excuses if I really want to be there? And just let things fall into place. Then we'll start realizing that realization can happen and changes in your life can happen just out of the fast. Because actually the name of the show tonight is the idea of change your thoughts, change your life. So we're just trying to get people to change their perception. So if there's anything I've said that resonates with anybody, even you, it's one of those things of taking that later on and using it as a guide to find out, okay, why did it resonate with me? And then take it from there. Because I've had two people tonight that just assumes I'm talking about them. So I was like, maybe it's just
well,
one of those
like
things
I
that
said,
for me.
It's because you say, you. And I'm like, wait a minute. That's it. That's the only reason why I'm thinking that. Anyway, so.
And here she is again making an excuse for her actions. So I'm just saying, ask
I'm
yourself.
That is not an excuse. I am explaining. Oh, God. Okay.
While she's in denial, this is a very good case here. We should have to bring her to the
All right, mister. I was just explaining why you were confusing me, because you were talking as though you were speaking to me. And so I was just clarifying. Are you
this is a radio show. I'm speaking to everybody. We've had this before.
You're brother.
We've had this before. I've had
I'm
people in my
family
waiting to get on the show who have actually had their questions answered. So what else can I? How else can I proceed on the situation of hearing that so many times that I have a tendency to say you, because it doesn't matter who it is, me, you, the audience, whoever it is. When these things are being said and the subjects are coming up, they're coming up for all, not just one. So I guarantee you.
But that's also why I was sharing my my information, my downloads from today, because they were personal downloads, but I know it's stuff that we get to share with everyone because it is very, very true. Just because I had a breakthrough or a breakup doesn't mean that I'm less of a person. It doesn't mean that I'm any less worthy of love. It doesn't, and there's so many. That's the information that I was getting is just because my family was friends with my ex-husband when we were going through a divorce doesn't mean that they love me any less. It doesn't mean that they love him more. It doesn't mean that I'm less worthy. It doesn't, it has to do with how I feel about myself.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but that is a very deep concept, and it's one that takes a little bit of time to really truly wrap one's brain around. Okay?
That's true, too. But in the process of trying to wrap the thing around, I understand that. But what I'm saying is there are still people coming in your life to learn from. So the ones that are no longer part of your life, you can't really learn from. It's the ones that are coming in.
But, okay, so... some of us.
I'm just saying, if you're focusing on somebody who's no longer part of your life, then you're missing the messages that are coming to you to the people who are.
All right, Mr. Festivart. Listen, the thing is, it's a matter of being patient and understanding, knowing. I like to stay away from the word understanding, but knowing that each person is on their beautiful journey. And we get to stay in a space of love with them and say, I know where you're coming from and what you're going through. It's okay. It's going to be okay. I can't necessarily go through this with you, but I still love you.
Yes, sweetie, that's the whole thing, too, that there's people in your life right now who do love you, and the ones that are not can't.
Okay, you have to stop talking like you're talking to me.
Well, just take it for what it is. If someone, maybe I am talking to you in some sense of the word, that there are people who do love you, who care about you, and the people who are not in your life right now either can't or they just don't belong. So you have to sit and look at the situation that what you are, as in they must be there for a reason because you are deserving of love, or they wouldn't be there loving you.
Well, of course I am. And I know that, and I've always known that, okay?
Each person you bring in your life and you allow yourself to love them, and you'll start noticing that those people that you always thought about, that you always wanted to figure out, you start letting them go because you realize, what am I doing? I'm not a therapist. I came here to enjoy life. So since they're not a part of my life, this is not enjoyable. So therefore, let's go and check out these other people who have a tendency to see me for who I am, and love me for just that. Okay, instead of trying to figure out why people don't, let's look at the people who do and say, okay, I don't have to do nothing to figure this out. They just do. It makes it easier for to let go of the things that no longer contribute to your happiness, that no longer serve your purpose. Because there's other people in your life right now who do all those things, and it just happens spontaneously. Well, this is the time for a commercial, isn't it? Anyway.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, sometimes you see things for what they are, and you wonder how come people just won't experience those things in the process of focusing on things that just aren't happening anymore. Going, okay, this really, I mean, I've talked to a couple of people that are going, okay, the person sees it for what it is, because if they didn't, they wouldn't be interacting with you. So you must see something. And the people who don't interact with you no more, they've already come in your life. They've already been there for what the reason they're supposed to be there. Their reason and their purpose is done. Or if they wasn't, they'd still be a part of your life. So this, take our focus off what the hell happened to, this look at the situation that's happening right now and the ideal of how spontaneous and how easy it is. The point was saying, if I've attracted and manifested everything in my life, why not focus on the things you've manifested now? Because everything else is done. If it wasn't done, you'd still be learning from it. But since it's not there anymore, most people want to use the ideal of the excuse and say, well, there's something to still be learned here. Yeah. To love yourself, since these other people can't.
You know, on another note, how about we talk about manifesting? Yes, I want to change the subject because I just felt like I got my, excuse my language, but I feel like I got my ass chewed. And I'd really rather just change the subject altogether because I want to talk about manifesting, and I get to manifest some money.
I'm just saying, you can change the subject if you really want to, but the one thing we go back to the original of the show is it's my show, so I said no. I'm kidding.
Oh.
No. If it's a sensitive subject for you, then you should ask yourself why it's so sensitive, but we will change it until you let it resonate with you, okay?
Okay,
I won't
have
to enforce you anything.
Well, I'm so glad. Okay, so
I respect your boundaries, but let me speak my mind. I let you speak yours all the time.
Well, I know that you are not just speaking of me or to me. I know there are a lot of people in your space that you come across that really struggle with the same heartache and the same heartbreak that I do. And
I also know what we're going through.
Honestly, though,
important because other people are also going through it too.
Yes, they are. I know so many people who are going through it, and it is really hard to deal with. Some people ignore it. Some people stuff their feelings and their emotions, and that's why they don't deal with it the same way. They don't drag on for months on end because they stuffed it. They don't want to hurt.
Yeah,
they don't want to
fake it. Too. I think when relationships end, it's like in the Bible, when it says when a person dies, she should never mourn for more than 30 days. And it's one of those things, if you know for a fact it's over and done with, 30 days is good, get yourself going, that kind of stuff. But it also said in the Bible, if you mourn for somebody when they die,
true enough,
30 days, it's no longer about you. It's about you.
However,
and I also know for a fact that people who pass away, and also situations of relationships and stuff, if we do not let it go, then they're not going to. And it's one of the situations, I went through this today. It's a forgiveness ritual where we basically focus on a list of people that we know we should forgive. We forgive them, we forgive ourselves, we let them go, and we let ourselves go, and we move on. Realizing that by making that decision to do so, we're going to get better results. And maybe we'll never cross paths with those people again, but then maybe that's the way it's supposed to happen. But I sit here and did that many, many times, and sometimes I think it's something we have to go over again and again because sometimes with relationships and people that there's more than just one incident that we have a hard time forgiving. So we have to go maybe through a couple of times. I think it's kind of funny. You write the list and you start thinking about people you never even haven't thought about in years. And I actually had a couple of people who thought about pets, a dog that drove them nuts or barked too much or did something. But it did create a situation that it couldn't forgive. And I've been pulled to the past so many times to forgive other situations or the time I drowned. Every time I go back to that situation, I'm always finding something more to let go of and more of the whole situation. Now, the one thing it doesn't deter me from doing in the present time is experiencing what's going on too as well. So, finish what you were saying. That just came across very quickly, okay? Sorry.
Oh, I was wanting to talk about...
pop music? I'm just kidding.
Money. Anyway. I get to talk about money and manifesting. And this is another thing that has really come to my, you know, has been very present with me today. Okay, so
I have, listen to me real quick, just one thing, okay? I have 1, 2, 3 people in the queue waiting to get on and want to talk. Now, area code 239, I'm not too sure about because it doesn't have the little thing next to it to tell me if they really want to get on the show or not. So area code 239, if you can hear me, which I think you can, if you want to be on the show, you have to push 1. If you don't, you just want to listen and just leave it the way it is now. But if you don't, I won't. Which they just pushed the button, and now they want to get on too. So that's 4 people. So go ahead and do what you got to do. But I want to sit here and I guess you get the subject going, do a whole thing like that, and say what you got to say. But I want to sit here and take, because right now we're at 1 hour and 2 minutes. And I wanted to sit there and just as we cross over the hour mark to take some calls.
Well, let me just read this money affirmation and this meditation, and then we'll do the callers. How about that?
That sounds good.
All right. So it says, in consciousness, I am always wealthy and prosperous. Money is merely a means of exchange. It is a form of giving and receiving. As I give to life, life gives me abundance in all its many forms, including money. I affirm that I am always financially secure. Money is my friend, and as I attract it easily, I eliminate all thoughts of indebtedness, guilt, and any other negative, poverty-oriented thinking. I pay my way with joy and love, knowing that my income is constantly increasing, and I am prosperous wherever I turn. I love money, and money loves me. I am a magnet for money. And that's it. And so it is.
I remember that affirmation, but I don't say to what it says, that's it. Anyway.
What?
It doesn't say that's it in the affirmation, I don't think. I got this one on my wall. It says, money comes to me every day in every way. I am a money magnet. What the only thing I changed with the whole thing was, this is kind of funny too, because it's amazing how people's perception will come along and say, you know something? You need to stop being so big-headed. What I did was I said, I am a mighty money magnet. And this person kind of got crazy with that whole thing. Said, wow, you're just full of yourself, aren't you? I'm like, okay,
wow, what big beliefs they have.
Right, so you look at the situation and say, you right now you're feeding into lack of limitations. And they go, no, I'm not. Really, listen to what you just said. You're saying I'm being too much. That means you're saying that I'm asking for too much. And I don't think there is such a thing. If I can conceive it, I can imagine it, and I can actually see it in my mind, therefore it does exist. It's for me to live down my resistance, to let it become a reality. And on the vehicle for it to come into visible form. So therefore, I'm allowing that and say, okay, I have a satisfying income of $10,000 a month. So be it, so it is, because it is. So therefore, if you can do the same energy that Moses used, the same energy that Jesus used, all that energy that was used in the Bible and those things of creating miracles, is also accessible by you. If you can believe in yourself and the idea that it does exist. I have a tendency to sit there and look at people and go, I don't believe in the Bible. I don't either, but I do believe in God, Jesus, the angels, and that kind of stuff. See the difference? It's a spiritual text. I don't worship it. And it actually talks about the Bible, that you have to watch out for things like that because they can become an idol or a god that quick. So therefore, it's the idea of your perception. You see how your perception can really work against you. And it also can work for you. So if you're sitting there telling other people that they're being too much, or like you're sitting there judging other people because they have $1 million or $14 million or something like that, I think you should sit there and look at the situation, because all you're doing is judging yourself because of what you haven't accomplished. So think about these things. I was going to talk the other day, but this came to my mind. This is what when in California they had the Oakland, when they had the earthquakes and stuff, and all those roads and stuff were destroyed, a guy who had a mediocre construction company went to the city and seen this as an opportunity. He didn't look at it as a disaster. He looked at everything always happens for a reason. So he goes to the city and says, let's do a little contract. And I say, I will sit there and have all these roads up and prepared where we can get all the traffic back and flow, just like it was before the earthquake happened, and I can do it in a month. And if I can do it in a month, I want a bonus of $14 million. I want you to supply the money to actually do the things, but I'm going to get it done in 30 days. So therefore, if I can, okay, then you owe me $14 million as a bonus because I can do it. But on the other hand, he says, if I don't do it in a month, then I'll pay for everything out of my own pocket. Okay? Well, what he did was, it wasn't the ideal of just sitting there putting it on the table. He also allowed for guidance to come to him to come up with the ways to do it. And he actually came up with new ways that we actually use now in construction and stuff, how to get things better and get them done quicker, that he came up with new techniques on how to do this. He came up with a new kind of concrete, the whole bit. And so he was dead bent on being successful. He wasn't focusing on the other side of paying anything. And he put a lot of money in this whole thing. But this guy had a mediocre freaking construction company. At the end of that month, walked away a multimillionaire. Okay, so it's the ideal, an opportunity that comes to you, and the idea of obtaining all those goals and all those wishes and dreams and all those things all combined that you can see in your mind's eye. It's also to keeping your eyes open and your guidance, and you'll start realizing, why is it so important to listen to your abilities and listen to your angels? Because there's this thing called claircognizance, thoughts and ideals that actually answer your questions, but they're also answers to your prayers, but also helping you to manifest the life if you've always wanted. Okay, we can give you all those freaking guidance and that kind of stuff. Even as a psychic, we can give you all the answers. But there's one thing you have to do. It's called action. You need to follow through with it. So here's a guy who could have looked at himself saying he's just a mediocre person, but he also had goals and stuff, and he's seen a situation where he could actually obtain those goals very quickly. So you can also see the situation too. How fast can your life change? This guy went from being a mediocre, as some people call it, to a multimillionaire in 30 days. Okay, so what is your goal? What is your wish? What do you want to do? Okay, the idea of look into these situations. We talk about healing, talk about realizations, talk about people. Your life can change in 5 minutes if you allow it to. It's the resistance that you have up and how much you have up determines the idea of how long it's going to take, if ever. But the situation is those realizations, those walls and everything you have up, they're your choices. You manifested your life through all the thoughts and ideals and decisions and everything else up to this point. If you don't like it, then you can look back over your life too and say, you know something? I didn't like the choices I made back then. Don't sit there and do like some people do. Well, I was abused. I was done as a child. I was just beat the shit out of. Don't use those excuses to keep your life the way it is now. Use those things and look at those things and say one thing. Those things are nothing but thoughts in your head that you chose to keep there for some reason that no longer serve you. Okay? So therefore, get rid of those. Let them go. And obtain ones that do serve you. Okay, that's what we're saying. That's what I'm looking at the situation. There was somebody in the chat room says, the way I talk, and I say you, is because I'm talking to you. And if you're listening to this show, Heather, means you are here for a reason just as much as the rest of us. So therefore, whatever happens, whatever crosses your path, is a message for you. That there are certain things you've got to do. So are you listening to you? I don't mean to make this rhyme, but hey, silly you. Anyway, let's get past the rhyming part and just look at the situation for what it is. It's time. If you're here listening to this stuff, it's the idea. It's kind of funny how I just renamed everything. And now at the end, the one part in the context of the show, it says, change your thought, change your life. So you're definitely looking for those thoughts to change. And it says right here, Thursday show. It's the, I like this. And I like reading this too, Heather. It says, a two-hour angel... 2 hours of angel readings and chat about whatever with my new co-host, Heather Smith. Join us for a great roundtable conversation on what to do to have the life you want Change your thoughts. Change your life. So what are you going to do?
Please do not without a chain.
To change.
Sorry.
So look at this way, Heather. Several months ago, you were sitting around doing nothing, in some sense of the word, of certain things, or maybe even questioning it. What I mean by that is like...
I wasn't doing nothing.
Well, let me rephrase it. Something, as in intentions you put out there, has put you in the seat that you're now a co-host of this show. So we can actually teach everybody else the same thing, that your intentions and how positive and how focused you are on those intentions are definitely going to create something. So you might as well make it good. Okay, so look at the situation. Let's say, can you actually live a life with no fear and still be here? Yes, you can, because in the process of living, you could have been, the last past life you had could have been a life where you'd lived nothing but fearful, made fearful thoughts, made fearful decisions, and all this other stuff. So that whole freaking lifetime was nothing but fearful, lived in a fearful way. So in this lifetime, the idea of coming to the conclusion, you're not going to do that no more, and doing it means you have to go through a complete lifetime with no fear to continue on with your spiritual evolution, your spiritual development, because of what you went through the last lifetime, which you didn't want to sit here and look at and go, okay. Because I've seen too many people in situations of what they've accomplished in their lives to refuse to make any kind of decisions based on fear, a false sense of responsibility. Start realizing one thing, I'm just responsible for myself. Even in the idea of being responsible for myself, I am my brother's keeper, but not in the sense that most people would think. Okay? It's the ideal. All the changes, all the positive changes I make from my own life puts me in a situation of being a good example for others to do the same. If I don't do the work on myself, then it doesn't happen. So I'm more of an asset than I think. So therefore, I am worthy. I am deserving. Anything I desire, I am deserving. And everything I have because I deserved it. Because if I didn't, I wouldn't have it. So this makes it easier for you to be grateful for the things that you have and then take it one step further and be grateful for everything you have. Because even the roof over your head, I told people before, the simplest little thing of having a floor to walk on might sound crazy to some people, but you do have it for a reason. So therefore, in the process of, I've seen a lot of people who manifest houses and don't have floors. Okay, all they did was correct it and decide they want a different house with a floor. You know, so it might sound crazy, but if you take on the other aspects of your life too, the relationships that you're getting and you're not getting what you wanted, maybe you just got to be more specific and more detailed and more deserving to realize you deserve it. Because I've seen people do this before. I have a great career, so I guess I'm not entitled to have a great relationship, not realizing that I have a certain affirmation I like. I am so happy and grateful for all the success in all parts of my life. As I continue down the river of life, I remain in my canoe, and I should be getting to you real soon. So have faith and live your life the way I live my life, and we'll definitely be together. Okay, Heather? Anyway...
I'm not sure where you're going with all of that. I'm a little... Anyway...
If you can sit there and spontaneously rhyme things, you probably have a lot of synchronicity in your life. It makes it easier to find things. And the time you're looking, like time, you know, like time is a perception. One person who sits here and watches the clock 24/7, right? A minute will seem like an hour. But a person who decides not to watch the clock and works their butt off doesn't think about time. They're just living their life.
True.
And their life goes a whole lot smoother than the person watching the clock. Because I've seen people watch clocks. They hate their lives. What am I doing here?
Well, you know, as I'm sitting here staring at my dream board, it says, if it is to be, it's up to me and my committed action.
Yeah.
So I get to put forth my action. I know I read my... I have cards. I still have my same readings up from last night.
I
have three decks of cards. They're all piled on top
lately?
Of each other. What?
Have you been to the library lately?
No.
Do you know we're actually a part of Colorado Springs now?
Yeah.
Pikes Peak, blah blah blah. And I had to get a different library card.
Did you really?
I was sitting there looking at somebody, and I was sitting there going, I don't want to go in there. My library card, the one I have on my keychain, has been pretty messed up. And I didn't want to replace it. I want to spend a dollar and replace it. So I said, there has to be an easier way. So I go in there and find out, well, now we're part of Pikes Peak and the whole thing. They have to give me a card for nothing.
And really?
Yeah, so everything came together like it was, you know. I was telling someone the other day, I can go downtown and get my driver's license down off of, it's not too far from the terminal. I can't remember the name of it. I've been down there before. They have all those parking meters and all the people parking and government shit stuff. I'm sorry. Did I say that? That stuff. I didn't realize it was that freaking cool.
We can use both libraries. Anyways, I do believe it was like 14 minutes ago that you wanted to take another caller.
Well, it's really nice of you that you're watching the time.
I know. There is no time. It does not exist. We're only in the now. Yes,
that's exactly right. That's the perception. If you live in the now,
time does. It does apply. Anyways, so I get that we have that caller to visit with.
I'm just saying, I've done too many things where I sit and live in a situation, people go, 10 minutes. It always takes us 10 minutes to get to the freaking place to cash our checks. And I sit there one day and I said, I got sick of hearing this guy bitch, okay? We're not going to make it. I'm in the backseat going, we're going to be 5 minutes early. Guess what? It should have took us, actually, probably about 12 minutes to get there, which means we would have got there after the place was closed. I was in the backseat saying, no, we are going to get there 5 minutes early. And I don't know how we did it, but we were there 5 minutes early. And he got his cash checked. I mean, he got his check. Here's your check.
I cashed it.
Yeah, I checked your cash, and it's good. You know, so I was sitting there going, I guess it's one of those things that I tell people all the time, that I can't believe into the worldly thing anymore. I think I was brought here for one reason, in this lifetime, to teach people the ideal. Spirituality overrides everything, even on this third mentally plane, because I think it's the reason Jesus came back in the human form to prove that what he did with the miracles and stuff, anybody can do that. So therefore, we can override the whole thing and realize that when we connect with our abilities, we connect with our soul. The more we connect with our soul, the more we connect with true love, which actually has a tendency to, as most people read the romantic novels, conquers all. They just are going about it the wrong way. That's all. So this helped them realize one thing. If you believe it, it can happen. So on that note, this guy goes out here and does that thing with his trash can one more time. I'm going to throw him in the dumpster, okay? Anyway.
Oh, somebody is so cranky tonight.
Really?
Tonight.
I was going to nicely throw him in the dumpster, okay?
Oh, nicely throw him in the dumpster. That's not very nice.
I'm going to say next time you don't get thrown in the dumpster, then have a consideration of other people that are trying to sleep, and every time you go slam that freaking door, they roll over the bed, or else they pick themselves off the floor, and I don't think it's fair. Anyway, let's go to our first caller who's been waiting for a while. That's area code 954. Welcome to the show, and how are you?
I'm good. How are y'all?
Fabulous. Thank you.
I'm doing great. Fantastic.
I really enjoy the show. You know, whenever I get a chance to listen in, I enjoy the show because I love the way that both of you dialogue. I love everything that both of you have to say, and it's a real show. You know, it's not scripted or anything like that. It's real. You know what I mean? And I really appreciate that. I really do. I really appreciate the chemistry both of you have, and you know, the different perspectives, but then they all eventually lead up to being the same thing. But I love you love both of your energy. So I just want to thank you all for, you know, being on tonight.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. I have two concerns right now. But the first concern, I remember I called in about, I don't even remember. It must have been almost 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, because I was telling you all that I'm having some trouble with my girlfriend's family, more specifically her sister and her sister's husband. And I'm having a situation with them, and it's getting pretty nasty, pretty ugly. And hopefully tomorrow we can come to a resolution. Hopefully tomorrow, you know, everything will be okay. But I'm just, you know, I want to know what you all feel or pick up about the situation, or if there's anything that I can do so that this could really go well for all of us. I can't even describe the way I feel about it, because I have peace about it, but I'm still worried and nervous because, you know, my girlfriend's mm-hmm. brother-in-law, he's a very emotional, angry person, you know what I mean, and very violent. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know what's going to transpire with him. I don't even know if he's going to fulfill his word and come through and do what he's supposed to do on his end. You know, I just don't want to take it to another level as far as going legally, you know, having legal mm-hmm. action against him for what. So I just want him to do what, you know, he can do so that everybody can walk away okay. You know what I mean? So I just want to know what you all pick up about this.
What is he doing exactly, if I may ask?
No, it's okay. I did something a couple of months ago. I made a mistake. I was giving him and his wife and his family the benefit of the doubt, and I did a favor for them. I went ahead and I purchased a car for them. Well, I didn't purchase it. I just put it in my name so that he could find a buyer, because he could no longer have a car in his name. And the deal was he was going to find a buyer, okay? Months went by. He never did anything. You know, the situation was really relaxed. Apparently, my girlfriend and his wife, which are their sisters, they got into an argument, they got into a tiff or whatever, and, you know, she would call me. Every week it was always something, you know, could you do this for me? Could you do this for me? Did this? So when they got into the argument, I stopped taking her phone calls. I stopped bending over backwards for her and her family. I just stopped. And so now he wants to sell the car. He wants the title. But I know that he doesn't have a buyer. I know that he just wants all of this because I'm no longer willing to go out my way for them anymore. Do you understand what I mean? And so I really feel like he's doing all this to spite, which is fine because I don't want the car in my name anyway. So he lied. He said he had a buyer. The buyer never showed. So now tomorrow, supposedly he has a buyer who's going to buy the car, so I'm going to release the title to him, take the tag, and just, you know, move on with my life. But I'm not sure mm-hmm. because today he was really angry. He was very aggressive. He got in my face the whole night. You know, and I don't yell. I'm not confrontational. I just got back in the car and I left. So I don't know, you know, what's going to happen. You know, I don't even know where he's coming from, to be honest with you. I don't even know where this anger, rage, anything. I don't even know where it's coming from. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I just wanted to see what's going on. What can I do to make this situation better, or, you know, what's going to happen?
Well, the impression I get with the situation of walking, doing the idea of being yourself in situations mm-hmm. and refusing to fight or argue or even be a part of it, just the idea of turning around and walking away. So I'm trying to figure out why he's angry, and it's just the idea of the anger keeps coming back to me as a person. The anger has no meaning except for intimidation.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea of wanting the title and all that kind of stuff, because he has a buyer, you just keep getting the impression it's just bullshit.
Right.
So when you sit there and look at the situation, it's intimidation because of his own fears that he thinks you're going to rip him off in some ways, which I can't figure out how that would be possible, you could take and do the whole thing and sell the car yourself. Well, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying the ideal, he's not paying attention to who you are.
Right.
Okay, the process of not paying attention to who you are, if he did, he would sit there and see that you're just not that kind of a person. I would rip him off. That's what he would do. You know, so what he's doing is he's seeing a reflection through you back about him of the things he needs to change in his own life and to get to the point where he's always wanted to be.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
He doesn't realize because he's been through a lot of stuff and everything else and the process of the infractions he's done to other people. He doesn't think he can be that person. But with you being a part of his life, reflecting back to him, that's not true. So you can see that he's not realistically being true to himself. He's melting with his anger. But I'd give you my personal thing about anger is not a sin. It's the things that we do in the process of being angry.
Right, I agree. You know, the night before, he called me right around this hour, if you might, to tell me that he had a buyer. He never called me prior to, you know, you when you have a buyer and you have this person who's been waiting for months and months, normally you call them. He waited until all the way at night to call me to tell me that he had a buyer, and that's only because his wife was calling me all. She's been calling me nonstop for 6 days, literally. I stopped answering her phone calls because I got tired of bending over backwards for them and not being appreciated and just got tired of being bothered, period. You know, I'm in a place where I just kind of want to focus on me and my goals and where I'm going. You know, you understand what I mean? And he called me at the dead of night after his wife tried to call me all day to tell me that he had a buyer. To tell me he had a buyer. I said, okay, that's no problem. He said, I'm going to come to your house and pick up the title. I said, listen, it's 11-something at night. We can do this in the morning. And on top of that, I want to be present so that when this transfer happens, I can walk away with my tag and, you know, everything can be okay. I want to just be present. He got really angry. He said so many different things to me. I recorded it. He said so many different things to me. I just left it alone. I completely left it alone because I didn't know where was this coming from. I didn't know what his problem was. You know, he made an issue about me, you know, taking sides with my girlfriend, and you know, it was just all of this, and I'm not a man, and I'm this, and I was like, oh my God, what is this about? What I don't understand.
Yeah, it's somebody being called out. That's what it was.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't think he intentionally brought it out, but I think just by your intentions of something you felt like you needed to do, he realizes he's going to get caught.
Yeah.
There's nobody.
Yeah.
I'll give something for it. I don't think you can do in the situation. Just be true to yourself. Keep it between you and your girlfriend. And just let the whole thing go. Like you said before, just give him what he needs and let him have the whole freaking thing and just let it go because it's just causing too much chaos.
Right. It is. It is.
And you need to cut this loose and get on to your life.
Right. Oh, yes. That, you know, it's. I'm happy to do this because I want it out of my life. You know what I mean? But it makes it. He's making it seem as if I'm stopping him in some way or I'm trying to harm him in some way. And I know that all of this has something to do with his wife and my girlfriend and the issue they had and me not being available to his wife. And I just knew. I knew that he was just lying about having a buyer. But, I wasn't going to call him out about it. I just said, well, even if you don't have a buyer, I can sign the titles over to you again. Just give me the tag. I just want to be free from it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't care if you do or you don't. I know you don't, but I just don't care. I just want you out. So,
you can drive it crazy. Mine was different. Mm-hmm. Mine was a different situation, but it was just one of those things where it was I feel like it was something that was wrong, then I feel like I needed to say it. But then again, after saying it so many times, it wasn't the idea of condoning it either. It was just the idea of making a decision to let go of it. And that was the idea of my ex-wife being with my brother. And so I realized the situation was doing nothing but taking time away from me. I wasn't able to actually focus on what I wanted to do. And the idea of making some really hard decisions, too, because my ex-wife was like, let's be friends. Okay, let's try that for a minute. And then it was just one of those things where he saw that she was no longer contributing to anything, no longer served anything in my life. I had to cut it all loose. But in the process of doing those things, I still found solutions. In the idea, I have two kids, two daughters, and I was still able to have a relationship with them, see them, that kind of stuff, and never had to see my ex-wife again. So it's the idea that I really get angry with some people who sit there and use worldly excuses, as I call them, saying, well, you know, if I don't see my kids, my ex-wife will take them away. That's their insecurity. Okay, yeah, the wife might have said this, that, and the other, but the idea, what I look at is, what's the truth? Is it just a person who knows they have no leverage? They're going to say things, they're going to do things to intimidate you because they feel like they have to because they know they have no freaking, they have no leeway in this whole situation at all. They have no foundation. They have no right to do what they're doing, so they're going to definitely try to intimidate. So if you look at your situation, Mr. Intimidation, you know?
Yeah.
It's funny how some of these people are so freaking gung-ho and so stuck on their patterns that I think sometimes when you sit there and say, okay, they're so caught up in the whole thing and arguing, they never heard the okay. They're still going on because they feel like there's
right.
something they have to do.
Right.
So it's kind of
right.
crazy. You look and going, okay, dude, could you shut up? Did you hear what I said? I agreed.
Right.
I think that was one of the things I was a little angry the other day when Ashley went off on me, Heather. It was because I said, okay. And she still proceeded to tell me two more times. I'm sitting there going, it's a pattern that she's in of drama. That she feels like she has to do these things to be in control.
Right.
You know,
like,
people tend to get very angry and they show up as big and bad and tough and you're not going to hurt me, I'm going to intimidate you, I'm going to scare you, because
right.
they lack the self-esteem.
Right.
They're terrified. And so they have to show up that way. But
yeah.
if you can... in a way to keep yourself safe, because that is number one, you have to be safe and you have
mm-hmm.
to be comfortable. You get to be comfortable. But if you can be in a space of love with him and, you know, express that, it's a bit different for guys, but,
I understand that one completely, because when you love people, it freaks them out because they don't know what to do.
Exactly.
Right.
And you don't give in to their, you don't give in to that intimidation, and you just allow him to know, you know, it's okay. I think you're, you know, a good person, and I don't want to have any issues with you. But like I said, first and foremost, you get to be safe. Okay, so you know, kill him with kindness kind of thing, that really does just, those people don't know how to handle that, because
right.
they're used to,
yeah.
if I push this person, they're going to explode, and then we can fight,
mm-hmm.
and when they don't
right.
push that person, and they only have love, they're like, well, what do I do with this? Oh,
mm-hmm.
you know, you catch them off guard, but it can really, you love people who are angry and mean and hurtful. You love them.
Yeah.
Because that's
it's,
what
yeah,
they're lacking.
One thing I'll also say, too, I've seen this in situations, too, where a person's being really nice to a person, and they're showing them that love and that kind of stuff, and they're trying to understand the whole thing, and then the person, it might sound a little drastic, but then the guy actually goes along and kills that person. And what's so funny about the whole thing is the person that was actually showing him kindness that he killed, it has a tendency to affect him later on. That he should have realized then, but what I'm saying is I've seen this before, where that actually sets with them. Well, they do change their life, maybe not as quick as we liked them to before they did what they did, but that person that got killed still had a positive effect on them. We might look at it as a negative situation because of what he did, but look at the outcome that happens later on. I've seen too many people that sit there and start pondering at what they did and all the things they said to that person. So that person did have an effect on them, and maybe that was their purpose. You know, coming through this lifetime and doing what they did in the process of making a difference in that guy's life, because he was so difficult that he had to take that kind of drastic situation to bring around that realization within him. But they still had that positive effect on him.
Well, I'm going to meet him tomorrow.
I don't think that's
going
to happen to you, okay? That's not going to happen
no,
to you, I'm just saying.
No,
you make,
I know that. Tomorrow I'm going to meet him in a public area, and I'm going to bring someone with me just to make sure everything's all right. And, you know, I sat down, I meditated, and in my mind I saw him, and I gave him a white flower. I really did. And in my mind, he took it. He took it. And I just really felt like, You all of you are right, you know, all this anger, this frustration, and he's not really listening to the fact that I'm saying, okay, I'm okay, you know, I'm all right, I don't know where this is coming from, you know, it's fine. In my mind, he took the flower, you know what I mean? And I just felt like this anger is his hurt, he's just, you're right, he's intimidated by me. He feels like he needs to prove something. He needs to do this. He, you know, several times a day he tried to school me or teach me, you know, this is how you should do this and this is how you should, and I'm just listening to the stories and I didn't have any words for him. You know, when you get to a place where you're looking at a person, you just don't have words for them. You don't even know what to say. In fact, you just start smiling because it's almost like, I see that you're in your pattern. I see that you're in your fear. You don't see it. You don't understand it, but I see it. And I just walked away from him very nicely. You know, I walked away from him very nicely. He came back yelling and screaming and arguing in front of my girlfriend and my mother and the whole thing. And, you know, we just drove off. But I saw it. You know, I said, you just hurt. That's all. And I, you know, I just sat down. I meditated with him in my mind. I gave him a flower. He took it. And I just asked if God, you know, just let him do the right thing, because I just want this to be over with, and I know he wants this to be over with. Let's just do the right thing, and, you know, we don't have to talk. We don't have to speak. I love you. Just do what you need to do. Just do what you need to do and go about your life. You know, that's all. We're two different people. We're from two different places in life. You know, let's just do it like this. You know what I mean? But he's such a character in terms of, you know, how he grew up. You know, he's really hardcore. He's a street, one of those real streets. So, you know, he just feels like he had a lot to prove. You know what I mean? And he has a lot about his history. And it's just, you know, so I said, you know, it doesn't matter. I just want peace. I just want you to go and learn my lesson. You know what I mean? I learned my lesson. Mm-hmm. You can't help everybody.
Well, it's one of those situations we can always help everybody. It's just sometimes those realizations don't happen as quickly as we'd like them to, but I think they always have positive effects on everybody. I was actually reading in the chat room where someone says, you know, there should be a more tactful way of doing things instead of saying enough is enough, because a friend should always be there for you. And I sat here and thought about it and said, just because I said enough is enough, I guarantee you when you get to your little situation, and maybe what I just said causes a realization, but I guarantee you that when you come to me, I will still be a true friend, and when you come to me, I will still be there. It's just that taking ourselves out of a situation doesn't mean we're less friends, but it's also the ideal learning that the support that you need to get for yourself, sometimes it takes that drastic situation to realize you need to stand on your own two feet. Because you're always sitting there saying, well, you should be a good friend. Yes, and so should you, to understand why the person would back off is because of what you're projecting.
Right.
You're sitting there saying, I don't need this. And that's exactly what I said too. But at the same time, I guarantee you, once you come to the realizations and, you know, you want to know if your friend's going to still be there, of course. That's the whole thing. But see, you're sitting there. See, the one thing I like people to sit there and understand one thing. You cannot tell me how to be a friend, because that means you're controlling the situation. And you're saying, I should be this way for you, when all I can do is be who I am. Okay? So that right there could also point out to you, are you really being who you are? Or has the situation manifested in you not being your authentic self? And I'm being my authentic self by making the decision of what's good for me. And if you're in a situation of asking a question about another person, you can't be doing what's good for you. Because if he was, you would sit there and cut it loose right then and there.
Right.
So, with your situation, too, you're right. He can only be who he is right now. But then again, you can always be yourself, too. So as long as we are reflecting this back and forth each other, there will be a positive outcome to this situation. Maybe we can't judge by the actions that's going on right now, because the things that we've done and said, the realizations haven't happened yet. Except for you, you realize what you had to do is be your authentic self. There is nothing to say. Nothing. I've been in situations, too, where me and another person would be sitting there arguing and fighting. You know, I was saying arguing because it was no physical thing, but there was a lot of arguing, right? And then we both started laughing and looked at each other going, okay, what are we doing? We have been in an environment that people say this is the norm, that we looked at each other, learned from the reflection of who we were and who we knew about ourselves, made us realize that this external stuff was affecting us. We both started laughing. The laughter actually was able to, for us to actually let it go, to see how stupid and funny it was, that we could actually see ourselves and laugh at it and say, okay, Wow, if you could just see your face right now. If you could just see your face right now. And we saw those things, we laughed, and we let it go that easily. In a matter of seconds, we let it go. And we never had any kind of resentment for each other. If anything, we actually had a better bond as friends because we could actually see each other. And what the other person was actually projecting wasn't trying to control us. It was us reflecting back at ourselves.
Right.
So it was a great experience. So I was going to say with him, he reflects to you the things that you've already dealt with, that you've already let go of. So he's a good reflection of where you came from, which also gives you the courage to keep going on that you know you're doing the right thing. And
right.
he sees you, and he gets more angry because he's not willing to see that. But he will.
Right.
Maybe not today. Today's
I will
Thursday.
Not die.
I've never seen anything good on Thursdays either. How about you? Anyway. but
I will not die tomorrow. I will not die. That's good.
Yeah.
No,
I mean,
no honey, you have a life. You have a purpose. You are you'll be okay.
Yeah. There's one other thing I want to talk to you too about. You know, I just need a little guidance as far as my career is concerned because I just really feel like I need to get it together. And I know that's probably harsh to say, but that's the only way that I can articulate it right now. I was terminated from a job about 2 years ago, and I wasn't happy there. I wasn't happy there, and it was time for me to go. And I wasn't the only person. They terminated a lot of us. You know, the company just lost money, and I was the one who wants to go. And I was happy. I was sad, but I was happy. I moved on. And then I said, well, you know, I'm really passionate about business and having my own business. And I tried to strike out having my own business, you know, kind of doing something similar to what you all do. And it just, you know, it hasn't worked out too well. You know, I haven't been making enough money to take care of myself. So now I'm at a place to where I just don't know really what I'm being called to do or what I can do to kind of get myself out of this situation, you know, of
okay, so
not
what you're saying is you're looking at the situation right now, right? You're looking to do like
yeah.
we're doing?
Well, I was. I still am, but just nothing's happening with it. You know what I mean?
Okay, which is the idea of the situation in that years ago I did the same thing where it was like the idea I knew I was supposed to do this is where I was always gravitated to, is where all things always happen. Then I had to sit there and take a step back and look at the situation of my perception. Did I really believe that I deserved to earn a living at what I really wanted to do because I'd always been told that I was not able to do that.
Right.
There's only certain things that you make a living at that you make money, and you have to have a real job.
Right.
I had changed my perception and start realizing that what they consider a real job is their own fears, that they had to be working for somebody else, that those perceptions affected me in a sense that I didn't realize subconsciously until I actually created my own business and wondered how come I wasn't getting across. It wasn't until the day I sat there and said flat out, all my bills are paid, and I even just specify about 6 months in advance, all my obligations are met, and my bank accounts are constantly full with divine surplus. So it's always one of those things of looking at those things, of taking it one step further, of actually getting copies, and I would get copies of my checking account, my PayPal account, and then I would get a freaking whiteout what was on there, and then put down there what I wanted, and you'll see, and realistically, it was the idea of anything I could do to change my perception. I listened to subliminal CDs. Listened to, what do they call those? Anybody who was doing this kind of work and the success they were having, the more I listened to those two as well to realize what they were talking about, I was talking about, what's the difference? It was the idea of the perception they had of realizing they didn't have a limit. They had unlimited potential, opportunities, and income. And now I even put affirmations on my wall where I sit there and say I'm a money magnet. Money comes to me every day and in every way. So it was the idea of also realizing that what I'm asking for doesn't always come through my work. It comes to me in its own way, but it always comes to me. Like this one here, which says money comes to me every day in every way. I'm actually opening all the doors so money can come to me in any way. I always sit there and tell myself, my income far exceeds my wants, needs, and desires. Because sometimes we don't have that perception. determine exactly what you want to. What are you comfortable with making? Because right now you're focusing on what you don't have. So therefore you're creating more opportunities to get just that, the lack of. So it's the idea of trying to find anything in affirmations that changes your perception to help you realizing that you have no limitations. Even the idea of saying the sky is the limit. No, it's not. The sky is a void. And if you keep going, there is no limitation. There is no something. There's nothing stopping you. You can kill continuously. Even the universe itself is constantly expanding. So there is nothing stopping you except for your perception. And that's where you need to go. Because if you feel like you're destined and you're guided to do this kind of work, in the process of realizing that, there's other realizations you have to go through to realize you deserve exactly what happens. And the idea of realizing that you have people coming to you and situations and clients and that kind of stuff, what happens is you're putting yourself in a state of service. The more you put yourself in a state of service, the money always follows. And you're always compensated for what you give out. Okay? So therefore, if you don't feel like you're giving enough, that's another perception that could keep you from getting the prosperity you deserve too. So therefore, you don't go back and focus on more prosperity. You focus on what's actually creating the block to keep from getting it, which means you don't feel like you're giving enough. So go back over everything and see how you can actually assess so therefore you can give unconditionally. So therefore you're also compensated unconditionally. And there's no limits. So you see how it corrects everything. So look at the situation. You look at the excuses you're coming up with of why you don't have what you have. Eliminate those and start looking for solutions how to turn things around and realize that if you're destined for something, you just have to look at every aspect of that destiny because your mind has been taught a certain way since you were born by your own parents' perceptions. And when you change your perceptions, you're going to exceed them. Okay? And a lot of people have a problem with that, of exceeding their parents. Okay? Not realizing that realistically, like with God, God always wants us to be abundant and prosperous. He wants us to keep expanding. So we have to look at our parents and look at the same way. Even if they don't have that perception, we know they want us to be. They know they want the best for us. Maybe they just don't know what that best is. So we determine that. We said, okay, this is what I feel is the best for me. Okay, and realize one thing. I did this for a long time, and the idea that if you're looking for approval, stop. Okay, you are who you are. You don't have to defy that. You don't have to defend that. You just have to be it and just be who you are. It's really talking about the ideal of being your authentic self. To be your authentic self is just allow who you are and the ideal that anything presents itself. Any opportunity, all you have to do to prove that is just accept it and follow through with it. Because it helps you understand that the reason you attract the opportunity is because of who you are. Like a reflection. I think everything's a reflection itself. So you see those things. They keep reflecting back as you go, okay, why did I attract this opportunity, which was very good for me, see? Which was very good for me. It was me that attracted that. You look at the idea of co-creation. Yes, thank you, God and angels, for giving me the perception to believe in myself, which brought this into reality. So see, you're still acknowledging that you're co-creators together. You think it, you conceive it, the universe brings it to you, and then it's your job to accept it with confidence and then to follow through with it to bring the most fruition around it. Okay?
All right.
I hope that helps.
Yes, it does. That does. Thank you. Thank you both. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
You have a good night, honey.
You too.
And thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Good hearing from you again. All righty?
All right.
And you have a good night, okay?
You too.
Bye-bye now. Let's see. And one more. This is must be a private caller because all it is 1111111. Make a wish.
That's funny. Thanks so much for taking my call.
And who are you talking to?
You're speaking to Dee.
Dee?
Hi, Dee.
Hi, how are you?
Fabulous.
Yes, and where are you calling from?
I am going from Washington, D.C.
Awesome.
Oh, yeah. I got lost in the on the belt. What was it? I got lost in Capitol Hill one time. No, on the beltway.
How did you get lost in Capitol Hill?
It's like this, sweetie. I got stuck on the freaking the turnaround and I couldn't get off of it.
Well, you kept going around in circles.
Yeah, looking for my off ramp. Going, okay, was that it? Was that it? There's too many of them. You have to start paying attention. And then if you go off the one side, you start hitting all the freaking the states, Nebraska.
No, you don't.
So, okay.
Oh my goodness! If you go the other way, then you end up in Maryland. Which all you have to do is, get on the next exit and come back around.
At the time, doing that and getting back to Maryland, so that's where I used to live. I was just working for a pest control company, and I had to go up and I had some clients up in College Parkway and Tacoma Park and up there.
Tacoma Park, right? Just, mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then I had to go to Capitol Hill, and I thought it would be great to do the circle, go around and go to the other side to hit those suburbs, which that didn't work out too good. But it was a good thought. Amazing. You know what's
how
amazing about it?
That?
You see the idea? Well, it's like you've been in D.C., right? The suburbs are so freaky because of it's actually D.C. and the area. It's a beautiful place because realistically, it's like country and city mixed together. And as long as you're not, but if you're not, even if you're not out of monuments and that kind of stuff, and you're like I said, on the outskirts, sometimes it's hard to believe that you're actually in D.C.
Well, it is true. That's true. That is true.
Especially around fall and
lot of trees and stuff like that.
Yeah, the end of summer and the fall, and you have the changing of the trees, and it's like, it was like being back in Ohio, but bigger houses. but it was really nice. It's a nice area. But I'm pretty sure you didn't call to talk about those things. But I was just kind of like went through my head of the yellow and orange leaves I saw in the certain places of D.C. There was one lady I was actually went to her house and to spray her house, and she kind of threw me off because of how nice she was. Actually, she wanted me to sit down and have tea with her, and I was like, I was like, okay, when you think of D.C., I think you think about nothing but the murder rate, which is very high.
Oh, yeah, very high, very much so.
Yes. Yeah, they had a thing, I read this the other day, where they were sitting there focusing on the spiritual aspect of things, and they think that when you focus and change your thinking, you can change anything. So that year, they decided to take a mass of people and start focusing on reducing the murder rate in D.C. And from all these people focusing and changing that thinking to seeing the murder rate come down, that was the first year in Washington, D.C. in a long time that the murder rate actually had dropped.
Well, I think it's more for social, economic, a lot of that falls into place, and the unemployment rate is just a lot of things that kind of falls into
place. If we could just teach people one thing, that their perception and their intentions change anything.
Yeah.
When the economy goes, it sucks, that's because there's a lot of people out there who are thinking. Because the thing about it, if there was no people on the planet, there'd be no economy. So therefore, we have an effect on the economy. So if we change our perception and intentions, we change everything. But people...
True.
The one thing I hate... So I think we should get rid of Fox News.
that's not going to happen. But anyway.
Yeah, but with the way we're thinking about changing your thinking, change your life, that would change my life very positively. But then again, see, what we could do is do it on an individual basis, okay? We don't have to get rid of Fox News, but we can get rid of Fox News out of people's lives. And the more we start talking to certain individuals who stop watching Fox News, it could set off a chain reaction. And even if we don't get rid of Fox News, those people's lives would change so drastically by realizing that they're being pulled into a dramatic thing that does nothing. It doesn't even really inform people anymore. So what's the use of having it?
But a lot of people don't like change either. You know what I mean? Some people are just...
That's true too, sweetie. I'm a Taurus, and we hate change. If I can see that differently now and see change and embrace change, I think anybody can.
Okay.
I'm just really going from a different perspective of actually using personal experiences of things that we know we can do, that if we did do, We can see other people doing the same thing too. So therefore, since we said that, what did you call in today to help? What you
well, I called in to find out I got laid off, and this is fine. Just wanted to see what you see as my next journey. What's you know? I know that there's change coming, but I don't know what it is, and I'm open to receive whatever it is.
I think that's your next journey. Your lesson is the ideal of learning to really embrace that thought that you just said right there, wanting things to change, because you definitely do see some changes happening. And I keep getting June.
I can feel it. I can feel it. I don't know what it is, but I can feel it.
Well, in the process of having that kind of faith, it's to also keep working on reducing the resistance. Because every time we go out into the freaking world, there's somebody or something that can actually raise that resistance level up high.
Oh, trust me. I know everyone is like, when are you putting your resume out there? When are you going to... I'm like, I am fine. Just let me breathe, you know? I'm okay.
I said, you can say what you want to say, but all I can do is give you personal experience. I had this lady who was, she liked being a manager, but she didn't like where she worked at. And so what she did was she went home, sit down, got very descriptive about what a management position meant to her, of what she wanted, okay? She got very descriptive about the whole thing. And then she basically gave it to the universe and said, okay, this is what I want. Now, this lady was very descriptive, where she described the job she wanted. She described what she would like to have in her environment of where she worked at, even down to the point where she wanted to live. Okay? 2 weeks later, it's not like a freaking show, doesn't it? 2 weeks later, she gets two job offers from two different companies for the same kind of management position that she wanted, right? The
mm-hmm.
only thing difference was she never applied for those jobs.
Wow.
So it's like one of those things that when you are speaking in a very positive way and you're focusing on exactly what you want, don't be surprised who's listening that might say something to somebody else where in 2 weeks you might be living that dream. I get the impression with you and the ideal, keep working on your resistance this month, that you're going to see something drastically changing where you get the impression you might actually be working before the end of June.
Which is fine, but I want to find what my life purpose is, and that's what I want. I know
okay.
I am here to serve, and in whatever capacity, that's what I want. Of course, I have to make a living. I have bills to pay. And as you know, the Washington, D.C. area is very expensive. But
when you look at your situation, your perception, right, and you say D.C. is expensive to live in, that's because your perception puts you at a lower level than the economy. So when you start looking at the situation, what we mean by changing your resistance and your perception is to look at yourself of always being above everything. Then you'll start realizing that if you keep using the words expensive, you're always going to keep constantly putting yourself in situations of expenses that you can't deal. So what you do is you start focusing on saying, I don't need to know about those things. I mean, I just bought a pair. I did a freaking test where I was buying things that I wanted and started realizing if I can get those things and they actually happen, I deserve them. So it doesn't matter how much they cost. And then we start realizing that if you really are being drawn to certain things, right, that it might actually be putting you in a different state of mind that, do I want to keep going to Walmart every freaking month and a half to buy shoes, or should I buy an expensive pair of shoes from a really credible place that will last me for the next year? Do you see the differences? By the change in your perception, you didn't just raise your perception to get what you wanted. You actually saved yourself money in the long run. You see
right.
what I'm saying?
Right.
Okay, so I said earlier the situation too, I bought a pair of tennis shoes for $72. But when I look at the shoes and the way they're made, they're going to last me for a long time. Compared to the shoes I was getting on a night, as I thought were a deal at Walmart, I don't know how long those shoes have been sitting around, and they don't last me more than a month and a half. Okay? So we start looking at those and changing things. Like the lady who got the job, she just changed her perception, but she decided to sit down and be very, very detailed on what do you want. Not what the world is going to tell you want, you see? So, you know, people sit there, I mean, I've seen people lottery. We saw this the other day about the lottery. That 9 out of 10 people who win the lottery actually end up being in more debt
mm-hmm.
than they was before they got into the situation. But what the problem was It wasn't the ideal money. They thought money was going to save them. Money didn't save them. What they needed to do is find somebody who could actually help them change their perception, because they were still buying stuff. They were like caught up in the materialistic thing of all the things they never had. So they started buying all those things. Like there was one person actually bought 3 houses, but bought them on credit. So see, her perception was still like she was when she didn't have any money, that she had to buy things on credit. She didn't realize you could just go in and buy them.
Right.
Okay. So most of the time, this is what happens, okay? A person will buy a house, and when they buy a second house, they will buy the other house right out and then use that house as collateral to get the second house, but also put it in a situation where it's paid off in 6 months, and then they'll
right.
get a third house. And they, but what they're doing is they're also putting the situation, their perception, they're not buying houses just for the sake of buying houses. That's what a lot of people do when they hit the lottery. They buy things for the sake of buying things. They don't
right.
have a real reason for them. When I manifest things, okay, when I manifested my first cell phone, I manifested it in the process of my perception was thinking how much it would enhance my life. I could do readings on the phone no matter where I was. I was always constantly having these layovers at the airport, so I was looking for solutions. So the phone came into as a solution. And the deal I got on that phone was amazing. There, I basically said, okay, let's get real detailed about manifestation. I want to get a phone, but I don't want to pay nothing until I get that first bill. And that's exactly what happened. I got this cell phone over the internet. It was kind of funny, too, how it fell into place. I went to apply for the phone, so I said, we're going to put this in perspective. We're going to do this, okay? We're just going to do it. All right, so I said, so I just started doing it, not thinking about anything else but success. So I sit there and focus, okay, I need to get more of the detail. What do I need the phone for? So I did that. And I also kind of telling myself, I would love to have this phone. Constantly say that all the time. I would love to have this phone. So I went and applied. And the first time I applied for it, they said my card was declined. So I sit and say, okay, you know something? If I'm meant to have it, I will. I had a focus board. And on my focus board, I had everything in threes. So I have 3 Blue Razor phones on there. So I went back and looked at the phone and said, if I am meant to have this phone, which I feel like will be a great asset to my business and my life, I will have it by the end of this week. And I went back on the computer that I was doing some work and working, looking for other places to work and just looking for ways to increase my business and what was going on. I noticed I had an email from the same place I just applied for. So I said, okay, they're probably just going to tell me again how much, you know, how I didn't get this freaking phone. Some companies love doing that. So I sit there and said, nope, just think about the whole thing. Just think positive. It might be a good message, right? So I went in there and checked it out. Sure enough, they came back and said, you have been approved and you should get your phone by the end of the week. Now, when you look at the situation, people go, really, what happened? I said, I think it was because when I made the intention, I said, I will have this phone by the end of this week. If this is meant to happen, I will have this by the end of the week. So when you look at that,
there's no way you would have gotten it sooner because you made a clear, you put a stipulation by the end of the week, and you got it at the end of the week.
That's true. Well, you know, the whole thing happened was I was traveling around a lot, too, but working with people. I had a friend of mine who wanted me to redo her basement and stuff and actually put shelves completely around her whole kitchen. And I sit there and said, okay, no problem. I just kept on saying yes to everything that came to me. I said, yes, I can do that. I have never put shelves in people's kitchens ever. But I had done construction and stuff like that, and I knew the parameters. I knew the idea of how to do it, and I did it. I went down there and did the whole thing, just followed through with the thing of saying I have some know-how. Maybe I've never done that, but I'm not going to say no to nothing. I said yes to everything. Walked away with about, my friend was like freaking out because she said, the woman you did the work for has got cancer, and you charged her $400 for that job. I'm like, and your point is? I said, I'm sitting there looking at this lady saying, I'm not feeding into your cancer. I'm feeding into you. I just did a job for you that you should pay me for this job because you're going to be around for a long time. And a week or two later, she went into remission. And I said, see, I know what I'm doing. Okay, so just help me out here and just go along the flow. Quit feeding into her. She doesn't want you to feel sorry for her. She wants you to be supportive in what she's trying to create, which is a healthy body. That's what we need more friends to do. Not to feed into our bullshit, but actually tell us what we need to hear so we can keep following that course and be on the right path. That's what I did. See, what happened was, did I get my phone in a week? It was there waiting for me at my mom's. But I didn't get there in a week. I didn't get there until the following week. And as I was walking up that door to go to my mom's, I'm sitting there going, I'm not going to feed into fear that my phone's not there or something, some kind of niche or some kind of mistake, right? It's going to be there. I mean, there was a couple of times I was sitting there telling people flat out, yeah, I was that way to feed into it, saying, I don't know. And I said, nope, it's on the table. So I get in the house. My mom didn't say anything. I'm sitting there going, why is she not saying anything? So I sit and thought about it. Well, the reason my mom's not saying anything because it didn't happen this week. It happened last week. So more likely it slipped her mind. So I sit there and asked and said, Mom, where's my phone? Oh, that's on the kitchen table. See, it was basically a matter-of-fact thing because it came in last week. Like it was supposed to. But the thing is, you're right, it probably could have been there sooner. But when I got the freaking phone, the first thing I looked at was to see if everything had fallen into place just like I'd asked for. Okay, I got it in a week. I looked at the invoice. The invoice, there was no freaking activation fee, nothing. I never paid nothing on that phone until that first bill came. And even when that first bill came, they tried to charge me for anything and everything. And I talked to some operator. I said, give me somebody who can tell me the truth about the whole thing. And this operator said, this is the way it works with AT&T. If you don't get on plans, they will charge you the highest price they can charge you. I said, well, if that's the case, then put me on all the plans I can put on. In the process of one conversation and one talk to a lady, I saved myself almost $400. So in the process of manifesting things, you have to also be assertive and ask for what you want too as well. If you have any questions, because I was certain times one lady, she was sitting there going, you know, you're looking at me in the process of not asking a question about a certain thing I just assumed. Maybe you were fearful because you was scared that the answer might not be what you think it is, but you didn't ask. But in the process of asking, I'm saying, I'm not putting you down. I'm actually saying you are a very intelligent person. So don't be scared to ask. Because you might get the answer that you were thinking in the first place, which you had to ask in the first place. And even if you didn't, I guarantee you when you ask your angels anything, they just don't give you an answer of saying, no, that wasn't what this person, this situation or person was. They will also give you the information and what direction to go into after you've got the information you know. I mean, like a relationship. It's not going to be a relationship, right? It's just a person who's the one that points you in the right direction of the right one, okay? But in the process of asking a question, you didn't get the answer. But then you do get the answer. They will still keep guiding you in that direction, or they would never give you any information in the first place. So it's the idea we have to learn also to follow through with our own intuition to ask the question. Because the angels are like, come on. You know, you've got the intelligence. You're a very bright person. Just ask the question. Don't assume anything. Assumptions always put you in a situation of being an ass. And you don't want to be that. You want to sit there and use your intelligence. You are a very smart, intelligent person. Almost everybody has that side of them that sometimes we just don't tap into because of what we've been taught. Maybe a little voice that one time when you were six that someone told you you're not worthy. That's been planted there. So you don't ask the questions. So therefore, when you ask the questions, that block is basically removed because you follow through. So you see the situation here is, be specific about what you want. I was actually reading Dr. Wayne Dyer, and he says flat out, and I believe it too, because I've always seen this happen too many times. The reason I'm doing the work I'm doing now is because it's something I was always gravitated to. I always feel very happy and love doing it, and I always notice that I've been doing that for a long time. So it's something that's something I'm very passionate, I love doing. And I feel like every time I do any more work with this, I find out more about myself. I've actually discovered more gifts that I do too as well. All these combinations have actually made me more successful and more effective to help people out. And the process of doing those things, I always tell people, your life purpose doesn't just affect other people. But the idea of the advice and situation and work you do with other people also reflects back at you about things you need to learn about yourself or maybe realizations about who you are.
True.
So it all works the same way. So the life purpose you're looking for is the ideal, like whatever you're passionate, whatever you love. Because you're sitting there using the term, too, I've heard this before, where you're sitting there going, well, I have to make a living. Yeah, you do, but you have to realize one thing. Your life purpose will do that. And more likely, more effectively than what you've chosen before it. Because it's amazing how people work, as people call it, real jobs, but always behind, always struggling, and always surviving.
Right.
And,
mm-hmm.
yeah,
and not happy.
What you want to do. Yeah, they're not happy looking people. And all they focus on is making 40 or 80 hours a week or making this amount of money to cover my bills. So all they're doing is they're caught in the cycle of survival. If I have all this, I'll be good to the next week. And they live from week to week. It's the idea of taking one step further and going, okay, how do you really want to live your life? Which would also put you in alignment, too, with your life purpose. Because it's going to put you in a situation like, for example, I know for a fact this is what I'm destined to do because it's something that I've got I have a shop and I've actually got it paid up until August 1st. And I started looking at my rent and going, okay, I'm kind of faltering on the rent thing. But realistically, I haven't been focusing on it like I should in the idea of a solution. Okay, so therefore, since I didn't focus on the solution and stuff, and certain things didn't fall into place, these things have happened. So I look at them and go, okay, instead of looking at them and bitching because they happened, or say a company didn't pay me like they were supposed to. They're supposed to pay me last pay period, but now they're going to pay me this one. What we do is we look at those situations and we find solutions so they never happen again. So complaining about the company who made the infraction doesn't give us anything. But when we start focusing on it, that it happened and there is a solution, we can find a solution so it never happens again. So we put ourselves in a situation of realizing we have a life purpose, we have a business, and we have a thing that's going to not just help people in situations and giving back to people, but in the process of me giving, there has to be a part of the receiving, because that's just where the universe works.
Right,
giving
exactly.
And receiving, they both have to be
right.
Opened up to the situation. So you keep giving and putting yourself in a safe state of service, those things will always come in and you'll always be taken care of. Now, like with my rent, if I'm not focusing on the solution, then the universe is just going to give me what I'm focusing on at the time, the lack of. Well, that's what I was doing. The lack of thinking about it gave me nothing. So I didn't set the intentions. But when I started setting my intentions for my shop, it's like every other week, things were coming in, so I kept paying the rent. And same with my food. I didn't have food in my cabinets. So I decided to change my focus and said, we're going to fill my cabinets with food and supplements. And the next thing I know, before the week was over with, I had found some really great deals on protein powders and vitamins and that kind of stuff, and the same thing with food. But I also noticed with those things was my intention, when there was a lack of, it was also a lack of focusing on those situations. And as soon as I corrected that, everything got back into freaking alignment again, and everything started falling into place. So you have to sit there, and your intentions is very important. I mean, if you've got to get up in the morning and focus on creating a list, okay,
well,
like on Tuesdays,
one.
Yeah, like on Mondays and Tuesdays, yeah, on Mondays, Tuesdays, you're gonna make this amount of money for these certain things. On Wednesdays and Thursdays, I'm getting the money for the rent. And you do this every freaking week, and you're going to focus on that whole situation, accomplishing those goals on day-to-day, and you're going to probably find out that you're going to have your rent paid 6 months in advance on whatever you have. And maybe in the ideal like I did, I look down and say, oh, shoot, one more payment, and my freaking computer is paid off. And all these things used to be a struggle before, okay? So therefore, we just change our perception on those whole things and say, I deserve not just the things I have, but I also deserve to keep those, and I also deserve to have the opportunities for more if I have to change those out or whatever it is, you know? It's just the idea of realizing that once, because I got this thing here I want to go over again. I actually want to do a couple shows with Dr. Wayne W. Dreyer, what it's called, this book he had called Change Your Thought, Change Your Thinking, Change Your Life, Excuses Be Gone. And it's the idea of helping people, instead of focusing on excuses, start focusing on solutions. Instead of saying, I can't do it, start saying to yourself, how can I make this happen? To the point where, thank you, God, angels, I'm living the dream. Because I heard people say this all the time, I'm living the dream. And their life sucks. So I'm trying to go, they're miserable, they're not happy, but they keep saying they're living the dream. I think they need to change that dream. Because it seems like to me like they're more like living the nightmare. And they're actually don't think they're worthy of the dream. So people have tendency to look at me and say certain things. I'm like, I'm sorry. I cannot feed into your situation because I see it for what it is. If I'm a person who's been put in a situation and position of being psychic and seeing things for what they are, I have to speak it. And I have to say it. Now, some people might not see it that way, but I got to do it. So therefore, with your situation, June is your month. So clear out everything in this month get your list, get everything organized, get everything descriptive, get everything prepared to accept the blessings that are going to be happening to you and coming to you. All you have to do is accept it. And I keep getting June. I keep getting June over and over again. I'm sorry, Sue, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, that's okay, because I was just about to say, you know, in June, you're saying it's my month. Can you be a little bit more clearer as far as, I know I'm going to find a job. I know. I'm not, to be honest, I'm not concerned about that at all. But I want it to be something where I feel that I am doing for my
highest good. I'm just saying, this month, change your perception, because I've heard a lot of people say that they're looking to live their life purpose. At the same time, they'll sit there and say, I got to make a living so I can eat, not realizing they're actually one and the same. And
right.
Since they're keeping them separated, that's why you're always like arm's length of getting it, never quite getting there.
Okay.
And you're always working stupid jobs because you think if you feed into fear, because I've had people do this before, oh, the rent's coming up. I've been in these situations too, but I refuse to feed into them to the point where I keep focusing on that solution. And if the solution I've come up with is not working, then I have to let go of that one in favor of another one that will. For example, I remember when I first moved here in March, last March, I was looking to move and I was looking for situations, but then I got caught up in the situation where I wasn't focusing on things like I should. Kind of got focused on a lack of, right? And next thing you know, I was staying in a hotel and I had to pay for another week. And I'm focusing on the situation. And I said, okay, bring me some readings. I want to do it because I want to make the money. Because, you know, I want to make the money in the way I do work. I want to do readings, and I need $125. So I was trying to attract readings and stuff like that, but it wasn't working. So I decided to go, okay, let's just let it go, because for some reason, like you said, you haven't let this go. And I kept on saying, yes, I have let go of it. I'm waiting for the solution of getting my readings to pay this bill off. But still, I was still kind of in that constructing thing, controlling it. I want the readings. I want to do it through work. Not realizing I got a couple of cards in a reading that said you need to open up and allow you and open. It's like accept help from your friends. And I said no. We're going to do this on our own. Until I decided to let go of it. It's okay. You're right. I'm going to let go and open open up to any. And I was thinking about, so therefore someone's going to call me and tell me they're going to send me the money. What happened was I had to do one thing. I had to ask for help. It was a learning lesson to let go of the whole situation in favor of the solution instead of what I thought the solution was. And I sit there and say, okay, no problem. And there was a friend of mine who came on the show one night, and I felt really propelled to actually ask him. And I pushed it off. The next day, when I finally just said, heck with it, let everything go, because my guide, the angel, came to me and said, okay, at this moment, you're still hanging on to it, and we'll tell you how we know, because you're not living your life. What would you be doing right now if you wasn't sitting here worried about this? I said, I'd be going to the gym, or I would go to the gym. They said, okay, then learn to live your life. At this moment, you said you would go to the gym, so go to the gym. Do you know that as soon as I got on the freaking bus to go to the gym, I got that prompting again to call this guy, and I did. And I said, I hate to ask you, Richard, but could you help me out with the process? I need $125 to keep my room for another week. Nothing's coming. I said, I got all this stuff coming. That's what was so funny about it, too. I had all this stuff that I had done that just hadn't come in yet. So I said, Eric, so could you help me with $125? He says, done. I was like, wow, that was easy. And then we went through a zone and we got cut off on the cell phone. And I said, well, maybe I should have asked for $150. What was so funny about it, me making that statement, when I finally got past that zone, Richard called me and said, I've already sent your money, but I didn't send you $125. I'm like, oh. He said, I sent you $150. Just on a nice little comment, casual comment, saying, I said I should have asked for $150. I'd like to have $150. Next thing you know, and 20 minutes later, guess what? I had $150 in my PayPal account. Just that easy. Just by simply asking and listening to my intuition and laying down the resistance that might sound crazy in some sense of the word, but what I thought the answer should be to actually open up to actually what it was going to be. And it was one of those things that I had a hard time asking for help. And it put me in a situation where, in the process of asking help, those people have all come to me for help. So it was just completing the cycle, giving and receiving. So I've already put it out there. I just had to open myself to receive it. So I did. And next thing I know, that was the very day I needed the freaking money for it, too. So I'm coming back to the freaking hotel room thinking this lady's going to get angry with me. And she came up there smiling. So you came to pay your rent? Pay for the week? I'm like, yeah. Well, she's happy. So it's like our perceptions make us think the worst case scenario, and we should just live our lives and realize that if we're nice people and we're giving because we love, you know, we love to do that and we're doing what we're doing, everybody else will also be in the company of other people doing the same thing. So you see, your situation is the idea where you want to be at, is the idea of simply letting down the resistance to be who you are and what you feel you should be doing. And then again, I get the impression you will.
And I do, I feel that way too. I really do. You know, do I keep having, you know, little doubts here and there? Of course I do. And when I got laid off, you know, everyone said to me, "You're not upset." I said, "No, I'm not."
Yeah, you look at the situation going, good riddance, man. I can't.
Yeah,
this place.
I said, you know, this for me is, I've become very complacent. It's a very good company, and I was making, you know, decent salary, and it's like, okay, now the universe is pushing me. It's like, okay, you were just complacent. It's not that you were happy, because I was not. So it's like, okay, since you're not making a move, we're going to make a move free for you. And I think that's what happened.
Yeah, the whole thing.
That's the reason why I'm not in a rush to post my resume. You know, people are like, "You're not looking for a job?" I'm like, "I am fine. I am fine. I'm okay."
Wow.
Because I know.
Right.
Say that again.
No, I was just sitting with the situation going, okay, yeah, the more you relax, the more you realize there is something happening,
mm-hmm.
the more you have to look down the resistance so it can, because it will. Because I've seen so many people focus so much on the idea, I can feel it, you'll feel it. Okay, fine, then allow yourself, not just to feel it, but to also resonate with the whole thing. So therefore, you take your visualizations and your feelizations, you put them together, and ask yourself, okay, what would be happening right now? If you were living that dream, if you were living that
mm-hmm.
purpose, or even the idea of the situation with this feeling you keep getting, is allow yourself to live that feeling. Because in the process of living in that feeling, it will also tell you what it will be. If you're really
I know what it is. I do.
Mm-hmm.
I know what it is. I think that my own insecurities kind of getting in the way because I don't have all of the credentials to do what I want to do.
Well, see, one thing I was also reading Dr. Wayne's Dyer books, too. If you feel like you can do it, and don't listen to everybody.
And I've been
reading
it.
The one thing I liked about his book is because he said when he was in college and even in high school and stuff, he had teachers and people that told him he didn't have the qualifications to be a writer and a public speaker. And that's all he does. And he's really good at it. So if you would listen to those people and what they see, because realistically, they're telling you basically through their own insecurities and their own perceptions because of those insecurities are what they see with you, which is basically what? It's a reflection back at themselves.
Mm-hmm.
That they're missing, that it's telling them that they could be doing the same thing. He just needs to listen to what they're saying as in the opposite way and realize that's what he is and embrace it. It's what he did. Well, he must have because he's got books everywhere. He's got over 25 books that he's actually written, co-authored, and that kind of stuff. Public speaker, constantly working. He's on public television constantly. If he would have listened to everybody else, where would he be at right now? Living
yeah.
their perception.
Yeah. And that's the part that I need to work on, and, you know, that's really what I need to work on is, okay.
Mm-hmm. I'm just saying
so
that.
So what you don't have all
thing.
Of the credentials.
Right.
You can do it. You've been doing it. It's just not getting paid for it, but you've been doing it.
And your perception, too, is also in the process of the realizations you're going through is also changing your perception and your resistance. And it's been there for a while, so, you know,
yeah.
It makes perfect sense that it's something you're still working through, but these other things are also realizations that are going to help you to let go of those perceptions and realize they no longer serve you.
Right. Awesome. So June
okay.
is my month, and I'm claiming it. I'm on my way.
Oh, yeah.
I said, June is my month, and I'm on my way.
That's all you can do.
Yes, you are.
my yes. What, Heather?
I said, yes, you are. Okay. I'm sorry. I do get quiet because I just listen. And, honey, if you will sit down and write down, just write. Let your spirit speak. And write down everything that you love, everything that you love to do, where you want to be, the things that you love to do, the kind of people you like to be around. Just write it all down, and your purpose will come out eventually.
And if you already know it, it'll just confirm it.
I actually have a commitment statement. And so And I've talked about commitment statements before. It's what we commit to doing moment to moment to moment. And you can make a new commitment statement every minute, every day, every week, whatever. It's how you choose to show up in a job, how you choose to show up in a relationship, or whatever. It's your commitment in that moment. Mine is actually my life purpose. It can change. A tad bit, not completely. So just write down from your heart. Maybe do it after a meditation so that you're connected and grounded. And that will help you find your way and what it is that you're seeking. Because it's you listening to you and finding your answers, because they're in there.
I agree. Yeah, I agree. And, you know, I just actually joined in intention groups that we've been meeting for the past 3 weeks, and actually that is very awesome. It really and truly is. And I have a few, you know, manifestation boards and stuff like that. So I've been doing a lot of work on myself, you know, to get to the place that I want to be.
That's
awesome.
Cool.
So, you know, I know I'm on my way. I do, and I'm open to receive whatever it is.
That's right. On that note.
Well, just keep going with that, because of the, you know, you'll find it. You'll find exactly where you're meant to be. If you're searching and you're truly open and you're connected, you'll find it. I'm still searching and learning and growing. And, you know, it's, even masters are still learning and growing.
Right.
And,
right.
You know, I know the Dalai Lama learns every day, but he's open. And, you know, once we stop learning, our journey is done here. So...
But I think you said something that's very profound. When one, whether it's me, you, or anyone else, when you're on this journey, soul-seeking, whatever terminology, it's like you have to surround yourself with like-minded people. Because if you don't, other people just kind of can drain your energy, and they, you know, they try to question, what are you doing? Why are you doing it? And, you know, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
And you know, so I don't want to use the word eliminate, but I've lost a few friends, and I'm okay with that, you know, because
Well, I'm just saying,
when
you look at a situation like this, take a negative tone off the whole thing, just sit there and say, like we saw about before earlier, we saw that when people are no longer a part of your life, they no longer have a purpose there. So the purpose of their purpose is over. So they have.
Yeah.
So if people look at you, and because you learned from this, okay, I can understand why they're not a part of my life anymore, because either their attitude or they go against your decoration to be happy. But I've also seen those people have a tendency to want to come back in your life and go, hey, why did you do that? Why did you do this to me? And you're sitting there and go, well, you've made a vow to be unhappy. I've made a vow to be happy. So therefore, the reason you were taken out of my life, not because of my decision, it was your decision. Because I'm pretty sure by me being a part of your life, I was showing you another path, another way to go of being happy. And you're choosing to just basically stagnate with what you're doing. So I have to make a choice because of the lack of one you're making. So I have to go
blind.
Sure. Yeah, that's why it was like the idea of looking at things and realizing that sometimes there are some days we have to take and just do a windshield wiper effect.
Mm-hmm.
Wiper the slope clear and say, I'm done, I'm sorry, but you know, the more if you're making my life complicated, you can't be a part of, you can't really be a part of the big plan of what I'm trying to accomplish here, was the idea of uncomplicating my life and being happy. Because the more you focus on the idea of being happy, you'll start realizing that life is really easy. Everything's easy. It's your perception that you had that made it otherwise. And once you change your perception of being happy, you start attracting. You don't even have to even think about the ideal, I need to attract more positive, more like-minded people in my life. And the idea of just changing your perception, you start attracting those people automatically. And then by paying attention to what's going on within your life and seeing those changes, you'll see that there must be some changes within yourself. Are you going to be attracting those people? Like me, I was there doing some things like I'm looking for simple meditations and that kind of stuff. Instead of focusing and saying, I have no money right now, I started focusing, what's the solution? I walk into the library while I was in Florida, and there's this whole shelf of books on CDs and meditations and Dr. Wayne Dreyer, Doreen Virtue, and all these other people going, whoa, how many CDs can I get? Oh, you can get over 100. And I got close to 30. But it was like one of those things that when you ask a question and you want an answer, don't be surprised what happens if you're really sincere. Because I've had people come to the shop. I've had people come, you know, I ask for a question and say, I need some answers or I need some input or a situation that comes arising. One was particular one was because I'm picking up a woman that I thought had twins but only had one child. And I found a documentary on the Discovery Channel where doctors started getting curious about the same thing, about women thinking they were carrying twins. So they started going for the afterbirth, and they found fetuses that didn't develop for some reason, but it still indicated that child would have been a twin. That's why the person was actually picking up on something and showing their perceptions, that they were right. It was just the idea of finding the truth, finding some information to back it up. And the same time I realized that with them, I was also realizing the question I had asked also attracted me the same kind of information. So when I was doing readings for people and I was picking up on twins, I had something to back it up with, so to give them more insights, so to believe it. It also gave them confidence with themselves that they knew when they were in the hospital and they knew they were having twins and they didn't have twins. It also gave them peace of mind that they did. It just didn't happen the way they thought it was going to.
Right.
But there was definitely twins. And when you do that kind of thing, it just helps people have more confidence in what they feel, their abilities. So trust yourself. Every time you attract somebody to you for an answer, you realize what you're putting out there. You're getting the answers. It just helps you clarify what exactly do you want.
That is true. Thank you guys so, so much. Thank you. This was awesome. Thank you. Namaste. Thank you.
You have a beautiful night, honey.
Yeah, please call us back and tell us how things go. I want to hear about June.
I sure will. I will keep you posted. Actually, this is my first time. I was just kind of searching and I found your show. I'm like, okay, let me call in. But this is awesome.
I'm so glad you did.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, you guys have a good night.
You too.
You too. Have a great weekend.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I was looking at, there's something on the line, the 718. But I don't see any kind of symbol next to their name saying that they want to get on the show, so I'm not sure. So if you can hear me, 718, and you want to get on the show, push number 1, and then see what happens. If not, we're over 30 minutes, and I have to watch some of the things I do lately. I don't want no reoccurrence. Oh, she pushed the button. Anyway, let's go to 718 and get that.
Hello.
Hello.
I thought there might be many people in the queue. I just tuned in a little later, and I was listening, but just listening to your call with the lovely lady who called in before, and I just so many things you said just really resonate, and it's just nice to reaffirm all of that.
Yeah, that was good to kick out of the whole thing. Yeah, people calling in and they don't get on the show, but then when we do bring them on, they're like, okay, well, thank you for answering all my questions. Let me actually asking the questions because of what I've heard all night. And they just want
to
say
it's
it's
interesting, right? Doesn't things work synchronistically sometimes?
Well, what was great about listening to the woman was actually I was able to reinforce what I'd said before. Please do not sit in the queue and get caught up in ego because you want to get on the show. Listen to what's actually being said. Because everything and everyone that crosses your path, doesn't matter what that avenue is, it's happening for a reason, for you to learn more about yourself, get the answers to your questions, and get peace of mind. And then she calls in and says, she'd been waiting for an hour and a half too, because I wasn't sure what she was gonna do. But I know she'd been waiting for a long time. And I told her, I said, we're sorry we didn't get you as quick as we did. We're going down the list, you know. And all of a sudden the queue just filled up, you know. And,
yeah, that's so interesting because, you know, it's funny, I was just not even expecting to. It was only when you said that I thought, well, I don't even necessarily need to speak. I'm just learning from listening, you know. And it's so interesting, isn't it interesting? And these things were flashing through my mind as you were speaking. I guess I really want to, I don't know if this is a strange thing to do, but rather than maybe asking questions, just sort of giving back to you. I mean, there's so many things you're saying. I think, you know, it's so interesting how we all have an inner wisdom. You know, it's there. And this is like what you're talking about. It's like it's our journey
that's
here.
Yeah.
We on some level, we learn that, we reconnect to it, and then, you know, we ultimately, I'm learning this, like, you know,
well, I
there's
see it definitely.
Party, you know, that you sometimes forget in your day-to-day life that you're actually creating all this. You know, like you actually are creating all of these situations, you know.
Exactly. Which is why meditation is so important, because we can reconnect with, we can remember. But it's, like I always say, line upon line, precept upon precept. It's a remembering slowly.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, I was just thinking about the thing, too. Let me ask you something, sweetie. What is your name?
Oh, my name's Christina.
Christina. Now, where are you calling from?
Yeah. I'm calling from New York.
Have you called in before?
I've never called in before, no.
Oh, okay. So you're in New York. When's your birthday, if I may ask?
Oh, okay. My birthday is June 6th, 1967.
June 6th?
Uh-huh.
You're a Gemini?
I am.
Well, we got to go. I'm going to talk to my time. Anyway.
Sorry?
Well, you seem like a very nice Gemini. It's just, I think sometimes I've picked up a lot of Geminis this last week, and I'm just kind of going, I think it's a reminder that I've actually had this story I talk about. I have an ex-fiance I was engaged to for 3 years, and I actually lost my stuff. I lost everything I ever had 3 times in the course of being in a relationship with her. And I thought it was one of those things where I think it's something that needs to be cleansed out, because we've had people come to the shop, and they go, oh, come to Gemini. I say, oh, this reading's over. See you later.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah,
you mean like
a
negative experience with that.
We have that.
I realize we all have that, you know, like, where you have some relationship with something, a certain sign or something, and you before, you know, whether both consciously and unconsciously, you know, when hangs on to it. Yeah, that's interesting.
That's what the day was today. Today was what started the whole thing about my forgiveness ritual that I was doing, forgiving everyone and forgiving myself and letting them go, and I was letting go and moving on, that she was the one, because it was like it started the whole chain reaction, because I remember that my angels guided me to the situation of certain things where I was always forcing the issue to get back with her in the first place. And then it would always start off good, like you have the honeymoon period, and then it would go right back into the same crap. And then I started looking at the stuff, all the stuff that I left, and all the stuff I lost. And I started looking at the situations of, I've always had a mentality, and it was kind of funny how it happened too a couple of times, where she would turn and say something, you know, you're always talking about this and that and the other, and here you are talking about your cards and your stuff. I said, I don't think there's anything wrong with having the stuff that I have. And I said, if I lost it tomorrow, I guarantee you I'd have it back in no time. And she goes, really? So all you want to do is focus on materialistic things. I said, no, I'm actually focused on the concept of manifestation, that I can manifest anything I want. Doesn't matter how many times you take it away from me. I don't know if that was her vendetta to take things away from me, to put me in a position to ruin, to prove a point. But every time she put me into a situation, I would always wind up on my feet and moving on and being a bad. I would be in a great situation, and then she would present herself, and then I would go back there and realize that it started getting to the point where it felt like a step backwards instead of a step forward. It was like this. When you have a person that you're basically, she's on, let's put it this way, she was on Section 8 housing, so she had a house, and I lived with her. But in the process of being there, I paid for everything. We had cable. We had one of those, this is when they first started doing the bundles. So we had cable, we had phone, we had internet. Okay, we had a brand new tablet. We had a flat screen television.
I have to just tell you, it's like you're talking to me. I'm doing all this healing work lately, and it's like I'm touching my heart for some reason.
Right. Like, so then we all.
I'm really getting. Yeah, I don't know. This is like about. Yeah, healing the past, you know. And, you know, we also see, because I've been doing a lot of healing lately, too. You know, it's interesting, as I'm sure you know, because you're doing a lot of
healing. Yeah, but it's also one of the situations of realizing a lot of times we go through healing for the rest of our lives because of the things we're letting go in the process of the experience.
Yeah, it's always, there's always like the next layer, you know what I mean? It's like you clear certain things,
well,
and there's like, and in a weird way, that brings you to the next layer.
Yeah, so the most perfect relationships,
too.
Listen to this. When you go through a perfect relationship, as I call a perfect relationship, it means in the process of two people getting to know each other, they get to know themselves. So it's a very positive cycle, okay? But also in the same situation, if you don't look at things for what they are and don't go through those realizations, then all you're going to do is basically reminisce and go over all the things that you thought were good instead of looking at things that are going on as in the process of what's really good. But I've seen people like, for example, I've seen people get together after 2 weeks of knowing each other and get married and spend the rest of their lives together. Okay, what's the difference between two people who get together and can't get it together? Okay, they go back and forth, just can't get together. Then we have another person who they met each other like 2 weeks and got married, but had this great relationship. It's the ideal of understanding that life, spirituality, and getting to know things and people, it's a lifetime commitment. They've made that commitment to themselves because they know for a fact by getting to know this person, they're going to know more about themselves. By taking each experience and learning from it, they're going to learn more about themselves. So see, everything we've created is to learn more about ourselves, even the people that are in our lives too. And if they're no longer in our lives, they have nothing to contribute to our lives anymore. So why focus on those people and what they're doing? Because realistically, it takes away from the journey that we've already chosen to do and the process of choosing.
I just think it's interesting that, like, just that, you know, I called in and you asked, and then you just happened to, like, talk about this woman who's in from the past, right? You know? I mean,
yeah.
I think
that
sometimes what happens, too, is as we're, like, whatever, you know, what I find is interesting, it's like, you know, you won't think about something maybe for years, right?
Right. No,
and in a weird way, it's like I've had stuff that I've like done a lot of work on or whatever else, and then sometimes as I'm clearing other stuff, it's like it'll come up. So, and I find lately like these things come up much quicker. It's like the more work you do or whatever, it's just like it'll pass quicker. Or the more releasing you've done on something, when it's like you see it from another level. Does that make any sense?
I was telling a friend of mine the other day, too. I was saying, you know, if you sit there and focus on the idea of what you really want, and then it starts coming into your life, you have nothing to do but let go of the old. What you just manifested tells you the old no longer has any.
Yeah, and I think that
sometimes,
like, if we're ever going over stuff from the past, it's like, I mean, I think what's interesting, what you're saying is like, I guess is, you know, the older I get and as I work through more and more things, you know, it's funny because that's just, I'm sure it was the last thing on my mind was relationships when I was calling in.
Well, you know, we still have even hurt and healing to do from past lives as well. So it's not just
you know,
in this
interesting
world.
Is I have to say that I never, in my sort of former life, I was sort of a skeptic, but I'm actually, that's interesting. I'm having things, intuitions and things come up around this, like I'm actually seeing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting. It's like, okay, you know, and
I guess part of what
well,
I...
It's like you said before, there's certain things that you're drawn to in the process of finding more things about yourself. And when you allow yourself to go with the flow, those things come a whole lot easier in the process of those realizations. Because I was centered on the same thing. I was like, you're talking about a Gemini. We started talking about a Gemini. And the process of what the story was all about, too, was the idea of realizing this certain Gemini in my life wasn't just the ideal, like she's talking about. Heather was talking about learning from past life experiences, too, that this thing here was all in one, all basically all together. It also taught me how to put myself in a situation what I wanted and realize that there's other situations of this thing, too, that by being with this girl taught me one thing. She might have been the one, but until she sees that within herself, there's always going to be a person who will accept it, okay? I just needed to accept it for right there. It had taken 3 lifetimes to basically accept the situation of a person who just couldn't get past her own past, which gave me the realization it wasn't just that past, it was 3 past lives. By getting that realization about how much she lived in the past, it also brought a realization to me that so was I. That's why she came to
mind. Yeah, that's always, it's the interesting thing is that, you know, and sometimes when we're in the drama of the moment, which is interesting, when I look back, you know, we're in, like, I've been in my life, I've been in very long relationship, you know, but I, when I look back at past things, I mean, at one point, I don't know why you're talking about this is for some reason bringing up something where I had something happen.
Yeah, because
so
I wanted to say,
I
wanted to say real clear to everybody else, by going through that relationship, I made a declaration to myself. I don't care what I got to go through. And the ideal situations are realizations, okay? I've sat there and said that you have to go through the weeds to get to the flower, but I know the flower exists because of the weeds I've gone through that didn't work out in the process of them not accepting me for who I was, okay? Because they couldn't accept themselves for who they was. But it also self-propelled me to keep going forward.
Do you think sometimes with relationships, like I see, I guess I don't know why I'm focused, just somehow, for some reason you're talking about this is reminding me of something I haven't thought about in years, but it was a very quick thing, you know, but I realized that when I look back, like I had something that happened with somebody, the opposite, you know, like that was very bad.
The quicker
like,
the relationship, the quicker the realization, that's why I didn't last.
It wasn't even necessarily like I don't think, but you know, it was so interesting that I saw like, as it was happening, I was doing a lot of energy work and, you know, whenever I think back, like this was all within, I could see like how,
man, I'm hungry.
You know, I could see how, like, you know, you walk into something and how, you know, I could see how we were mirroring certain things for each other.
Right.
It was like later, even somewhat at the time, I was like, oh, this is interesting. Like, it was very, on the surface, it was like this light thing, and it was like boom, 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 within a really fast time. And I was like, oh, I'm really reviewing all this stuff. I just suddenly realized, like, oh, okay, you know, this is, there was all this deeper stuff, you know, that it suddenly picked up. I realized, oh, there's a mirror thing going on between the two people. And it's like, so each person, you know, and it's like each person's, like you also bring unfinished wounds or anything like that. It's like it all comes up.
Oh,
it's so good.
I'm just saying with the situation, they come up.
You know what I realized? It's like, oh, you know, boom. It's like, to be honest, I had one of the most, I hope,
you just had that realization.
I was so nervous. I had the one of the most like profound experiences of my life after this happened, where I realized like it was like I walked into something on the surface. I thought on some level I didn't know what I was walking into, and I realized like, oh wow, you know, it triggered some deep hurt, something. And that was then so interesting, as I was realizing at the time, I was like, oh, I don't know. It was interesting seeing. I was like, as it was happening, or even the more time I had later. Also, this person got very like angry and everything, but I realized he was also healing stuff. You know, it was like, oh, this is why we were brought together, and it happened very quickly. And it was like, it was very interesting. I don't know if this makes sense, but it was like I could see how, you know, it turned out that there were certain things from both my past and his past, you know, where I was like, oh, this is why like all this stuff is coming up, and how it like moved quickly from this leaving to like all this deep stuff, you know?
Right.
I don't know if that, and I remember like at the time I was like, I felt blindsided, but also like, I remember afterwards, it was like I had one of the most profound, like, this is a strange thing to say, but almost like an awakening. Like, I had a very profound spiritual experience after all of this, like, very quickly after all this happened. And it was like, because my heart, I've been, like, really revealing all this.
No.
I really remember feeling like my heart got cracked open. And I've thought about this for years, but I had like all this. It was all about like not being afraid, like walking right into the middle of all your deepest fears or something, you know, like, and not running away, you know, like letting your heart get cracked open. And you think this is going to kill you. I know it sounds silly, but I actually. Mm-hmm. Remember, like, it's like it all happened really quickly. It's strange, you know. Like, suddenly, I found myself like crying someplace, and it was like stuff about my past, stuff about like many lifetimes, and the strange thing was, I remember having something where I was seeing, like, I haven't thought about this in years. I hope this is okay to reveal all this. I hope it's helpful. I don't know. I remember just like having. Maybe because I'm going through some level of this now in a whole different way than I'm talking about. It was like I saw, like, it was so strange. It was almost like some Buddhist experience or something. I remember just crying because I realized I had been looking on some level, whether consciously or not, like I was moving away from something. Like it was in some way I had been looking for, it was almost like looking for a safe haven, you know, and it's like I felt on some level as if I was, like I had no place to go or something, which wasn't really true, you know, but then it was like, sorry if I'm saying
all right.
I just remember, like, and then I kept creating, after all of this, the initial thing was like, right after something happened, it's like my heart was just like cracked open, a strange thing, and I remember it's having a moment of like, I don't know, it's like feeling like, you know, just all this, like, all this pain and everything, and it was, like, this thing telling me, this is not just your, like, you think this is about you, but it's not about you. It's really strange.
Right.
It was, like, you, like, I had this, like, flash, it was, like, it could see all these faces, like, from, like, all these different people. It's so strange. I've never, like, I don't talk about this very much, but it's, like, all these different people who've been, like, hurt, and it was, like, all the human race or something, like, all the human race and all these incarnations and all these forms and everything. It was, like, so this is just, it was almost like, And then, like, right after that, it was, like, all these things happened in succession where I just kept, it was a little freaky. It was interesting. But it's interesting talking about,
isn't it?
Sorry?
That's just the way it goes, you know? It's one of those things where in the process of realization, they're always kind of, because I was telling a friend of mine about the idea of following guidance, because sometimes guidance just doesn't make sense. But then again, why would it make sense? Especially if you've made a decision to attract people in your lives or situations to see things differently, to actually obtain what you think you should be living, which you know for a fact that where you came from was not what you felt like you were supposed to live. But it did help you with a realization of what you really do want. But once you start realizing those realizations and stuff, sometimes they seem kind of weird and that kind of stuff because they're different. They're new. And it's for you to job is to sit there and embrace them, have a good time. Because, you know, when you start getting these realizations from people and that kind of stuff and all things start coming to the surface, this is what it's all about. This is your life. And then it helps you to learn to embrace that. That right now, today, it helps you realize who you are and accept yourself for who you are right now. And to know that there's like a person situation.
Yeah. It's so lovely to hear this and to hear this reaffirmed and to go back to tell the really positive stuff. And just I really enjoyed hearing a lot of the things you were saying. I just sort of wanted to reflect that back to you. I think it's really nice for us to find people, you know, to have people to affirm, if that makes sense, like affirming that.
No.
You know.
That's what we hear all the time is about people affirming things and saying, hey, you know, thank you.
I really liked what you were saying. I guess it's maybe because also I'm finding it's, I'm watching this, though. See, I'm catching myself. It's really interesting, like, learning, you know, everything you're talking about and catching yourself in your, like, what I'm about to say and how I'm about to say it. Does it make any sense? Just like, you know, I realized, like, what you were saying so much about perception, you know, and I realize I'm coming into more and more awareness, I guess, of, you know, when my perception is really, like, when I'm really focusing my energy on, like, where you want it to go rather on where you're afraid of, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, that you really have a choice.
Yeah, that's what we teach people about fasting. Fasting doesn't help you rid just toxins and lose weight. It also teaches you that everything's a choice.
You
decide to eat, decide to breathe and drink and all this kind of stuff. You make the choices. And therefore, you can look at the situation realizing the way your life is right now is because of the beliefs that you had yesterday. So if you want to change tomorrow, you have to change those beliefs now or look at the situation and realizations so those changes can happen.
Mm. Yeah, and it's interesting that you know, it's so interesting that you can actually shift. You know, we get caught up daily sometimes and things, and it's like sometimes just that shifting into. Sometimes it's so simple. I do get nudges, you know. Like
right, no, yeah.
It's really interesting. I'm finding that's so nudgy for me, but I think I'm getting a lot of, like I'm feeling more sort of spirit stuff, which I don't necessarily. I know some people really see that, you know, and I'm working with certain things. So it's like that's like another layer for me to really open it. It's like, you know, it's on sometimes my linear mind, it's like I question that a little bit. I don't know if that makes sense.
Right.
But it feels like the instinctual level is coming more and more. And sometimes they're joking. It makes sense. It's like, you know, okay, you asked for this. Like, now are you going to make it so difficult? Like, do you really need to make it so difficult? Like,
oh, yeah, there. It's so crazy.
Like, just do it, you know, do it. Like,
do it.
Like, follow your thing. I don't know what that makes sense.
Well, the one thing I hate to do is, but we got to go, because realistically, they're going to cut us off in about 5 minutes.
Oh, okay, sweetheart. Well,
I don't want people walking around going, did he cut me off? No, it's the idea. Block talk, let's just go about an hour over, and we got about 6 minutes, so I just wanted to sit there and tell everybody, and everybody relax and take what you've learned tonight and let it resonate with you, and join us tomorrow, because we'll be on tomorrow, well, it's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at 8 p.m. Mountain Time. Where are you?
Where are you? I'm in New York.
Oh, we're in Colorado.
Oh, that's why you sound so lovely.
Okay.
No, it's really nice. It's a different energy. New York can be very, you know.
Yes, I've been to New York.
Oh, New York is fun, though. I love New York.
It is fun.
Well,
it is fun.
I love Manhattan. I've never really been anywhere else other than Manhattan. But it's so much fun.
I've been to New York, New York, and it was freaky.
Well, much love to both of you.
Well, thank you. Thank you for calling in, and join us tomorrow, or Saturday, whichever is convenient for you. We'll be here tomorrow.
Oh, good. It's nice to know you're there. I'm going through quite a lot of, I don't know what to call it, maybe spiritual awakening.
No problem.
That's word. So,
yeah,
nice
we were just,
to know there's,
I was just gonna,
there's others
yeah,
out
so.
There.
Good night.
There you go. Well, you have a good night, and we're going to get out of here and go take a nap. Anyway.
Much love. Bye.
Right. You have a good night. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
I just want to tell everybody, if you want to call me for a private reading, give me a call at 740-500-8863 or contact me through my website at www.psychicxjourneyman.com or come to Colorado. If you're coming to the Colorado area around Colorado Springs, we're in Manitou Springs. The address is actually 946 and a half. Manitou Avenue at Manitou Spring here in Colorado. If you want to call, just call the 740-500-8863 number, and if you want to make an appointment or just get an idea what our hours are, what we do, and that kind of stuff, the website will actually give you insights on exactly what we do. We always tell people don't be intimidated by the prices. Just realize we've set prices at certain things, but then again, we have a tendency we can work with anybody's budget, and we do. So give us a call on that whole team, too. But right now, we also have a May special that we're doing right now where you can actually get 5 30-minute sessions for only $100, which is really good for manifestation, relationship insights, and that kind of stuff, because I always believe that I do relationship counseling, but I think it can also help the single person too as well in the process of what you're trying to obtain with a relationship, which actually starts with you. So keep that in mind and just give us a call real quickly, 740-500-8863. And how about you, Heather? You want to give the information on how they can contact you for your work too as well?
Well, it's 435-503-4577 or heather.love.light@gmail.
Really? Hold that again.
heather.love.light@gmail.com.
And that phone number?
And then the phone number is 435-503-4577.
And we encourage you all to go back in the archives if you didn't catch us all the first time, because the information is still there waiting for you to rediscover it. So check us out in the archives. And we'll see you tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Mountain Time, and we'll also be here Saturday and Sunday. So if you didn't make it on the night or certain things, that kind of stuff, or maybe you was actually in the queue and had to go out because you had to change your baby's diaper, we'll be here tomorrow. So therefore, you can actually take advantage of it. And we'll be glad to answer your question because we do readings here. We do readings. We don't do many readings. We don't do two questions or whatever. The only time we have a specification is like if you ask questions in the chat room, because we like to talk and that kind of thing. So if you want to call and get a really good reading, please do so. It gives you insights on what we do, so therefore you can make a more educated decision, the ideal doing private work with us. That's what it's all about. Plus, we love teaching. So it's a three-dimensional show, a three-dimensional individual. So join us again for a three-dimensional individual insights